United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
In a very wrong world. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hope you're having a good day today. The number is 347-945-5229. I want to hear from you today. It is going to be a, for the first hour, I think Mike comes on. Got a guy, Mike, who's been calling in from South Carolina. He has going to come in. He's a blind gentleman. He's going to come on and talk to us about overcoming obstacles and some things that he's doing so that you can hear from people who really have a massive or major disadvantage. So we're going to talk with him this afternoon, and there's going to be open mic between now and then. I tell you, you know, we're in a world where you think you know a lot and you don't know anything at the end of the day. And I am, you know, I'm so overwhelmed at times by some things that I get to learn from people. Because I go in and out of circles, and I'm nosy, and I ask questions. And I find out that, you know, we have been uninformed by our media sources. And I'm not quite sure if it's intentional. I know, you know, my colleagues here at the station may or may not agree with that. But I don't know if it's intentional or unintentional, the information that has not gone out. I don't know if it's time. I don't know how this works. But I know that we have people who are, you know, not giving us a true view of what goes on in the world in which we live. And even with the internet, even with the news cycle, with 24-hour news cycles, even with the Twitters and the instant news, they don't really give us an actual snapshot of where we are and where we and the world in which we live. And because of the lack of information and the lack of resources and knowledge that we have, I think a lot of times we make bad choices because the choices that we make are not based upon all the facts. And right now, everybody's watching the Trayvon Martin trial, and they're really engulfed in this. And every, you know, if you look at the news, I mean, you look at CNN and MSNBC and Fox and all the rest of you, Trayvon Martin is up at the top when it comes to their news, the George Zimmerman trial. And because we're watching this, and I think I said this on yesterday, we're not hearing everything else that's going on around us. And because we're not hearing what else is going on around us, we're really being ill-informed about everything else. And so this information is causing us to be prejudiced. And prejudice means to prejudge in our thought process. And so I make assumptions based upon what I'm told that this is how something is supposed to be. And when I say that, so that there's no misunderstanding, they tell me that inner cities are all the same across the country. And they tell me inner cities are poor urban blacks, Latinos, and poor whites. The suburbans are a better place to live because they don't have the crime element. They don't have they have a better education. They have better real estate. They have better landscaping. And so it's always better to live in the, you know, suburban areas. And so you people who live in the inner city, you are beneath us. Your property value is below us. And so you're not equal with us. So we send you into schools and we say that because you are this way, we're not really going to pay attention to your schools as we should. We're not going to pay attention to what goes on around you. We're not going to give you the attention that you need, and we're going to leave you where you are. And we instill a lack of hope. We tell people who are in the suburbs that you have, your world is better than everybody else's, and so you hide all of your ills, and that you shouldn't trust anybody that lives in the inner city because they are beneath you and things are not the way they should be. And we go through this preconceived notion of imaging that we've been told. So we go out and we buy designer shoes, designer clothes, and everybody's trying to become something that they're not. And we live a very, very superficial, non-existent life. It's not real. And the more not real we become, the more internal issues we have. So we have a lot of people who are not satisfied with their own selves. And on top of that, we've eroded and erased God out of the picture. And we now live in despair. So we work more and we work harder than we should to get stuff that we don't need, to impress people we don't like. And we neglect people who we should be paying attention to. And we become substance abusers. We become alcohol users. And we live a life that is not fulfilling. And I'm getting to a point because it causes division amongst the United States of America, because we look at division being separation of territory. But what we don't realize is division is separation of people. And because of the separation of people, we become delusion, or should I say, we become deluded in our oneness. And as long as we become deluded in our oneness and we allow, and I will say this, we allow people who are our enemies, and enemies comes in different shapes and forms, we are not achieving the goals that are set before us. And so I'm saying this because we need to understand that we need people, and people need us. And we need to welcome and we need to accept people for who they are and not be divided by them. And we need to quit prejudging people where they live and who they are by how they look and by the educational attainment that they have and trying to set standards for other people. Because this delusion that we have and this division that we have and this disillusion that we have is causing separation. And you can see it throughout our whole government, all our government entities. And with us seeing it in all of our government entities, when you see this in all that we do and you see it in our future and you see it in our children, so we wonder why there are drug problems and there are mental problems and people are becoming as irate as they become. If you look in their background, you'll probably see at their snapping point. You'll see their lack of hope. And see, America used to be all about dreams. And even those that were enslaved, they had a dream of being free. Even people that came here, they had a dream of being successful. And in the last 50, 60, 70 years, we have more rapidly taken down the hope that we should have and the dreams that we once knew. And we've turned into robots, into non-thinking, non-passionate, non-compassionate beings that's in a race to win and to go absolutely nowhere. We no longer have a sense of oneness. We don't have a sense of family. We don't have a sense of commitment. We don't have a sense of being successful. We don't have a sense of pride. And I say this because I was talking to a gentleman, and in talking with him, I found out that I've been lied to about what goes on in the suburbs and what goes on in rural America and what goes on in the urban cities of America. And I'm seeing, and I've said this before, I'm seeing more and more and more and more and more But the delusionment of the separation of these geographical locations has caused us to take our focus off what we should be paying attention to. And that is getting back to our families, getting back to our God first, our family first, and getting back to treating people as we want to be treated. And I know when we were in school, we were taught the golden rule. I don't know if that rule is still being taught, but I'm hoping that they'll bring it back, because we need to learn that. People are losing hope, and they're causing themselves to go into drugs, and they're killing themselves. They're working themselves to death. We have, and it's just not good. It's just not good. And I'm hoping and praying that we will one day, eventually, come to the realization that it's okay to be who I am, stand up on my own two feet, and take my family as they are, and then be able to instill hope and pride and self-esteem into our young people so that they can dream again. Because if we don't get the American dream back, I don't know where we'll be. Hey, it's open mic. I want to hear from you. The number is 347-945-5229. I want to hear from you today. We'll go anywhere you want to go until Mike calls in. But I want us to keep, you know, as a cliche of a man who I've lost all respect for when it comes to political leadership, Jesse Jackson says, I want us to keep hope alive and not the prejudice and the prejudging and the perceptions that have been put into us that has caused us to have despair. People need hope, and we need to put that in them. Our children need hope. It's really bad today because they need hope and not dope. You know, dope is destroying, drugs are destroying our fabric. And it is an economy that we're going to have to curb. It's destroying our future. It's destroying our focus. And we're selling our souls for a temporary high that's going to send us into a demise far beyond what we can realize. And if we don't do something, you got to realize people who are drug addicted, they can't take care of themselves. And if they can't take care of themselves, we're going to have to take care of them. And, you know, if you look at, you know, I hate watching TV when I see, you know, Aid for Children across, you know, when you see Aid for Children and they show you the little babies over in Africa and they're starving. And for some reason, America thinks it can't go there. And we do have hungry people in America, but they're not there. We are going to have to do something to make sure we stop that, because young people who are born to drug users tend to not have the same activity of brain cells or the same drive for success as they should, which causes our social problems in America. We're talking about same-sex marriage, and we're talking about, you know, other things that are and moving forth agendas, but we don't see the elephant in the room of really taking care of the responsibility of American citizens and making them to where they can be responsible for themselves. We talk about entitlement programs, but we don't want people to stand on their own two feet to where they can make a living for themselves so they will not be on the government. We're going to have to, America, start making productive adults. We can no longer afford to take care of children who have been diagnosed with ADD and ADHD and other things like that because of drug-using parents. At one time, they used to call them crack babies, and we didn't know what was going to come of them. Now we know that drugs, we know that alcohol during pregnancy, we know that smoking during pregnancy, it can limit the resources and the brain development inside of the fetus. We know this. We don't need to kill the children. We need to teach responsibility of the children. We need to teach responsibility of ourselves, and we need to have self-control. That is the only way that we are going to last. That's the only way that we're going to make it, and that's the only way that we're going to be able to become productive adults. Hey, Alabama, how are you?
What's happening?
Man, look, I got issues today. People losing the dream.
What you got issues on?
See, we keep on looking at them and us, and when I'm finding out us and them is all the same, and everybody's losing hope, and nobody's doing what they should do, and they're not taking the responsibility on making sure that their children are productive. And when I say productive, productive is more than making money. Productive is being healthy in mind, body, and soul.
Uh-huh.
We're not doing that. So black folks, white folks, Mexicans, Latinas, you know, Asians, all of them messed up in the head. And they messed up in the head because they're trying to become something that they're not. And nobody wants to teach their children how to become productive adults. And we've got a drug problem in America that nobody wants to talk about. When's the last time you heard war on drugs?
I'm a little torn about that one. I really am.
Why?
Reason being, because it's not really being. They're not running an active war on drugs. I know this is going to sound crazy, but it's a war on poor black people. Reason being, before you go off on me, look at it this way. Meth is bigger than crack was. Meth, crystal meth, 80% of the users are Caucasian. It's not being dragged across the media as much as in the 80s, every 5 minutes they show you on the news, they're kicking somebody's door in and running in a crack house. Meth is taking over suburbs and rural areas like crazy. And it's a mostly predominantly white, you know, drug that most white people users are using. But they're focusing most of their energies on crack and weed, which tends to be in a more urban African American sale. So if they're really having a comprehensive war on drugs, then the numbers of people in prison for drugs should start to kind of even out, because meth has been around for a while now. So people, but you're not seeing that, which tends to lend me to think that it's more to it than just what we're saying. It's more of a eugenic type, you know, genocide, rid of these people type way of thinking, in my mindset. That's just me.
And can I say this to you? I agree. But my question is, when's the last time you heard any type of drugs? This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. When's the last time you heard people doing a don't do drugs message?
I didn't like the whole Chronic album back in the day when they came out. I grew up. When I was small, we used to have prisoners come to school, convicts and stuff. I guess they were about to get out, and they would sit there and talk about, I started smoking cigarettes, I started doing weed, I started lacing it, I went to powder, went to crack, started robbing, shooting, and here I am. And weed is a gateway. I mean, that's how people, so a lot of people don't like that, but because they look at the statistics and say, well, a lot of people don't. But I wouldn't want to be in that percentage of people that do. So I personally wouldn't do it because I feel like drugs are, being African, if you're African-American and you feel like you got all this stuff stacked against you, why would you smoke drugs to statistically raise your chances not getting a job, you're not thinking as clearly because you're under the control of some substance, and then you out here trying to do battle every day. So I think that's stupid. But most rappers, most just about everybody now talks, I mean, these songs, Ecstasy's okay. Ecstasy has cocaine in it. A lot of that has coke in it. And so I don't get it. I don't get, you know, X. I don't get none of that stuff. So when people say they want to do all these different drugs, call me lame. I was called lame back in the day. You know, I was there when they were passing the joint around and just passed it right on past me. But I just was raised in my mom. That's my parents. They taught me that. So like, when I go on a job, if I'm trying to get a contract, sometimes they give drugs, I don't worry about it because I'm clean. So that's just how, you know, people have to have that own, take that own assessment, so to speak. If they don't want something out of life for themselves, and they want to walk around here stoned out of their minds most of the time. Because most people, I knew athletes in college that I played with that were great athletes that probably could have been on TV somewhere. But they'll wind up at junior college because they sit around all day smoking weed all day. They don't go to class. They walk around with bags. Every day you go in the room, you just see a big cloud, everybody in there with their eyes red, and you wonder why. And that happens on a lot of athletes. There's a lot of athletes that could have been in the NFL or NBA that I personally knew that didn't even make, that couldn't even go to class enough because they were so lazy, because all they want to do is smoke weed. So, and now a lot of the young girls out here, now you meet a young girl now, just about all of them smoke weed. It's just, it's an epidemic. But nobody cares anymore. Nobody's speaking on that. So.
That's my question. And see, my thing is, I'm finding out that there's meth, there's heroin, there's cocaine, there's marijuana. The marijuana is laced.
Oh, yeah. You get traditional grown in the backyard type marijuana anymore. No, that don't do nothing for people anymore. Now they're looking for, you know, headbanger boogie. They looking for Hawaiian. They looking for some stuff. It don't even look like weed. It's all different, multicolored, rainbow looking. Yeah, the smoke smell different. Smoke is all purple looking. They blow it out. You don't even want to fool with that type. That's what they smoking now.
That's what I'm saying. So my question is, when do we start having this conversation again? Because more and more people are getting into drug usage, and they think that it's recreational. And
they say there's more people that smoke weed now than cigarettes. They say, I heard that.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, what's sad is you could go in corporate America and it ain't just the hood. I mean, everybody.
That's what I'm saying.
I would not be surprised.
It ain't just black people smoking weed.
Everybody, not black, but who going to jail the most for it?
Are you going to jail? And not
anymore.
But the question is, when do we wake up and smell the coffee and say,
Tracy, because I got a bone to pick with you. If that's the case, you're saying we need to get more involved, and you always say that, right?
Yeah.
Well, why did we go to Afghanistan? You got soldiers admitting that they've loaded poppy onto big C, whatever, them C-22 planes, flying it back here. Stuff. I mean, we in the drug business. We are in the drug business. That's what we do. So why are you saying when? It seems like you're contradicting yourself. The government is involved in the drug business. That's why.
So if the drug government is involved in the drug business, when are the people going to wake up and find people who are going to tell the truth about the government's drug involvement? I got to take a break. Don't you go
anywhere.
People
like that get killed.
Hold on. Let me take my break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll see you on the other side.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
Pregnancy questions? Ask Dr. Canby at ProgressiveWomensCare.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A 3-year-old boy is dead after being shot in the head in Youngstown. It happened Sunday night at an apartment on Fairgreen Avenue. Police believe the shooting was accidental. The boy's grandmother says he was playing with his 5-year-old brother. She says she then heard a loud pop. Investigators removed 3 guns from the apartment for evidence. At least 2 of them had bullets in the chamber. The grandmother says the little boy's father keeps his guns under his mattress, and the boy's death is being classified as a homicide. A Youngstown man was reportedly shot by his neighbor. It happened on the 1100 block of Wilson Avenue. Police haven't released the name of the victim or the suspect. And Austin Town officials are trying to keep the township safe for area students. Officials are working on a project where lights would be displayed along Raccoon Road. The lights come in handy for students walking from the middle school to the public library. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
The excitement of the new Chevrolet is back. 600WSOM.com wants to put you in the virtual driver's seat of today's most advanced vehicles and to give you a chance to win the AutoLaw jackpot. Just go to our website and enter the virtual auto showcase. There's a door to click for each of the Chevy All-Star dealerships. Check out each dealership right online. Sales hours, service hours, even a map to their front door. And once you're in, you could be just one click away from winning the AutoLaw jackpot. Your choice of $100,000 worth of vehicles. Let's see. How about 5 $20,000 cars? Or maybe 3 $33,000 SUVs? Or how about a pair of $50,000 luxury sedans? Wow. Mix and match up to $100,000.
Thank you so much.
We told you the excitement of the new Chevrolet is back at 600WSOM.com.
The Cumulus Health Club and Vlad Pediatrics present today's health tip.
Whether you're a new parent or a seasoned veteran, Dr. John Vlad and his team know you might have many questions about infant and toddler health. Which vaccines does your child need? What's the best way to take your child's temperature? What should you expect at well child exams? What are the latest developments in infant and toddler health? The more you know about infant and toddler health, the more comfortable you'll feel caring for your child. Start by sharing your questions about infant and toddler health. Remember, nothing is too trivial when it comes to your child's health or your peace of mind.
This health tip has been brought to you by the caring doctors at Vlad Pediatrics. From preventative care to illness, you can trust Vlad Pediatrics with your family's care. Now accepting new patients at 330-841-7337. Vlad Pediatrics, Elm Road in Cortland. More tips and info online at vladpediatrics.com.
If you have a parent entering a nursing home, are the executor of an estate, or just need a will, this message is for you. The Law Office of J.M. Shade is able to help you make the right choices to ensure that you and your family are protected. Call us toll-free, 866-606-6187. Again, 866-606-6187. Or see our site for more information at jmselderlaw.com. jmselderlaw.com. Estate planning made simple.
1-800-530-WSOM. Or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hope you're having a good day today. It is open mic, and I was talking about drug usage, and Alabama brought in a good point, and he said, you know, I truly believe that America, you know, America has done. We traded guns for drugs back in the 80s, I believe it was, wasn't it? That was the Iran-Contra hearings?
Well, I'm not just talking about that, but yeah, the guy, I think named Gary Webb, who I think has been killed. They don't know how, of course, but he's the guy that blew the whistle on the CIA called Dark Alliance. We all know about all of the North and all that, but it's the guy. And then Rick Ross's main connection actually worked for the government. Did 6 months, got moved, tons of dope. And he did 6 months, got out, has a federal job for the government now. So I went and looked that up.
Well, actually, I know Rick. He was on with us not too long ago. But I know
he was.
Rick. Yeah.
What did he say about it? Did he say the same thing?
Something. Off air, he said a whole lot more than he said on air. But it's funny how they don't necessarily, they're not genuine in their tracking of how they find drug dealers and how they make and how they take our men when they find them.
If I'm not mistaken, there was a guy that killed a something. I don't remember specifically. There was a guy that was trafficking drugs across the border in Mexico. I think he did something, got locked up. He called his mother in Mexico. She calls a congressman, a senator, or something, and the guy got out. That was some years ago. I remember that. I remember hearing about that. But, I mean, I think they're complicit in it. But they'll take us to jail for a seed found in an ashtray for 5 years.
Not quite the seed, but let me say this. Now,
I mean, okay, but I mean, I wouldn't want to get...
Hold on. Let me give you. I didn't find some stuff out about that. You are right, but we need to understand the difference of when they catch us and when they catch them. And we need to be honest about this. We go down the street and we got a pocket full of money. We got a $50,000 car. We got $10,000 worth of rims on the $50,000 worth of car. And we got all our stuff with us. We get pulled over, we go to jail, we get arrested, and we go to jail, and we have to have a public defender. White man gets pulled over, he got a hoopty, he got a couple hundred dollars in his pocket, he don't have no gold around his neck, got a pair of ripped up blue jeans, and when they make his phone call, he calls his mom and says, listen, Ma, go in the garage, and where Dad had his tools, pull that out, punch a hole, take that shoebox to this lawyer, and tell him to come get me. There is a difference.
I mean, black people like to shine. I won't argue with you right there. I'm just talking about the whole way it's structured, the way it's done, the way even the traffic stops they used to have. They didn't kind of cut it out where I'm from, but it used to be you were riding around a blind curve. Next thing you know, you trapped. You're sitting there with motorcycles waiting for you to turn around.
Yeah,
you turn
you
around,
they're
chasing
from.
You down.
But you get where I'm coming from. We got. If you don't have a good attorney, and you go into the criminal justice system with a public defender, you going down.
I've seen that firsthand when I got into a situation in Georgia. They gave me a public lawyer. It was easy. I mean, they were people were doing stuff. I went and left court because I was like, okay, I'm just sitting here watching the public lawyer. They just signing papers, get $300-$400 every time they sign a piece of paper, and people were just going in jail for 10-30 for tickets, right? I went and got a lawyer. I think I paid that lawyer like $1,000. I mean, all that stuff was clear. I mean, I didn't have to go
again.
To court.
So again,
didn't have to do anything.
Again.
I was sitting like, man, well,
so
what is the person downtown doing?
We look at this, and we want to point the finger at everybody else. But some of this, we got to understand. We got to take some of this responsibility on ourselves. You walk into court with a public defender, you might as well go in there with some gasoline and a match, and then light it because you're going down. You're gonna get burnt up. You can't ask for a public defender to come in there and help you out. Nothing personal. I'm not trying to say that the public defenders are bad lawyers. What I'm saying is, you're not going to.
They're not going to go. They're not going to give you the top at work. They're just going to tell you, look, take the deal. That's all they're going to tell you.
Even if you didn't do it, and so we need to know. And this has been going on for years. For years, we've got people that have been going down for a long time because they do not have. Good representation. So the reason
did
why
you see, did you see the movie with
race.
Omar Epps? Did you see the movie with Omar Epps where he first time felon, where he went
no,
to boot camp?
No.
He went to boot camp. He was selling drugs, didn't have a lawyer, and the other guy that was over him had a lawyer. So he said, "This is the price of not having you. I told you guys selling all that dope, get you a good lawyer." And see, that's why you know. So the guy walked out the next day. But he went up to boot camp, and it actually changed his life. But It just showed that, you know, the way the system set up. As soon as he got out of boot camp, he changed. But because he was a felon, he couldn't get a job. He couldn't do. I mean, it was just, he just was. He even contemplated suicide one day. He was about to blow his brains out because he just felt like he didn't want to go back into the street life. So, I mean, you know, said, I kind of.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm with you on this. I'm just saying, I look at this, and people are not truly paying attention to what's really going on. And our young people are still getting sucked up in the drug cartels and the drug trade. They're still doing drugs. You know, I saw a young lady the other day that I grew up with, and I did not recognize her because of what drugs has made her. She used to be a beautiful young girl. And it, I saw her, and it was like, whoa, what happened to you? And I've seen drugs destroy lives. And you don't see anybody promoting don't do drugs anymore. You don't see people, you don't see anybody talking about just say no. You don't see, you don't hear it. And if we don't have parents, and if we don't have, if the government wants to take over our children, why are they not teaching them not to do drugs?
The government has a vested interest in you, and this is going to go take the conversation somewhere you probably don't agree with, but the government has a vested interest in men not knowing how to deal with women, a vested interest in people being ignorant. I mean, when I say deal with women, I mean they have a vested interest in you dating a woman, not knowing how to handle the situation or have, making bad choices in your choice of dating a woman, winding up on child support, winding up, you know, now they got you in the system because you broke, you probably can't afford the child support. Now you're in jail. And she got, you know, so, and then she's dependent on the government. Your child looks to the government for you know, for support instead of you. It's a circle. Now it's a business. Now they got you in jail probably working for some company for free or 12 cents an hour. Meanwhile, they're making thousands of dollars off you. It's a racket. I got a friend that brother went to jail, and he told me they sent this brother out to work for this company. I mean, literal, like free labor because it's slavery. So –
Free. So the question is, let me say it this way. People are now walking themselves into their own chains.
But see, the problem I have, Tracy, is that if you know that's the way it is, it's like in nature, if you watch animals in nature, animals act in things a certain way because of nature, because they understand that there are predators out there, and the government is the biggest predator. The government, police, they're predators. So you have to be, you're going to go out here. I know people don't like to see, you know, from Menace to Society say the hunting is on and you're the hunted. But if you know that the government and the police are out here to get you, have your stuff, do things that are proactive in getting your stuff together. Yeah, you can have $2,000 a week selling dope at 19 years old. But, you know, if you wait 6 more years and get out and make, you know, you probably won't make but $1,000 a week, but at least you don't have to look over your shoulder. You know, and that's the problem, man. And most dope boys don't make a week. So, I mean, that's the glitz and glam of it. For every one guy I know that was a major drug dealer that sold dope, 50 million of them I know went to jail or dead. And I grew up in the hood, so that's just how it is, and that's how it is everywhere you go. So if you know that's the situation, don't sell dope. It's almost like that's the only way to skin a cat is just to sell dope.
But my question is, if you don't have a market, I can't sell it. When do we stop dividing our communities by people who do dope and just tell people, just say no, don't do dope at all? When do we stop promoting?
You can't stop people.
Drugs?
You can't stop people from doing what they want to do. They want to get high.
No, listen. They don't want to get high. Listen to what I'm saying. The reason why I get high is because I have no hope, or I am in despair.
Or you get high because it feels good.
Well, no, but listen to what I'm saying. We get high because it feels good, but I'm trying to feel good because I don't feel good when I'm not high. So I'm in despair. I'm desperate. I've got issues.
Everybody, everybody that's doing drugs ain't been raped and beat to death.
Hold on. No, listen to what I'm saying. There are a lot of people out there. Now, there are some people just dumb. And as I always say, you can't fix stupid. So there are going to be people that are always going to do dumb stuff no matter what, no matter what they come out of. But there are a lot of people who do drugs, and they get into doing drugs because they have nothing to lose, so they say the heck with it.
I know people in Montgomery, from Montgomery, a lot of people. I know this one guy. He a drug addict, white guy. His people were millionaires. They cut him off.
Money does
because
not have any.
He went through
money,
everything.
Alabama.
No,
money had
look,
nothing
I'm not
to
saying
do
that.
With
his
it.
Parents, look, I'm not saying his life was perfect. But, look, the same issues he had, other people got too. If it ain't money, if it ain't the lights and gas getting cut off, it's your
no.
parents, your dad didn't hug you enough. But that don't mean you got to go out there. That's just, I'm sorry.
But listen to what I'm saying. A lot of times, life puts you into desperate situations where we have put weights on people to where they don't feel as though they have any hope. Hopeful people don't do drugs.
You're talking like a liberal. I mean, liberals, look, you cannot control that. When you got a drug substance that feels better than an orgasm for 10 minutes straight, people ain't going to get that up. I mean, it feel good,
so
they want to do it.
So what made me go into doing drugs at all? What made me start doing drugs at 15 years
because
old?
Because you smoke weed because it's cool. You peer pressure. That's one of the biggest things. You smoking it.
So how do,
you like
so
it.
So how do I go
you
from
like
heroin?
The way it makes
how do
you
I go,
feel?
How do I get from smoking weed to heroin? How do
because
I go
you like the way it
crack?
Makes you feel, and you don't see certain people have a sort of propensity for it. Just like if somebody's good and bad. One girl could sleep with a guy and he's good in bed, but he's a dog, she leave him alone. Another girl sleep with that same guy, and mentally she breaks down, and she's taken on a roller coaster for 20 years fooling around with this same guy because he's good in bed, whereas the other woman saw it coming and cut him loose. So it just certain people have that. Just don't put yourself in that situation. You got to be mindful. It's just like nature, survival of the fittest. Certain people have that propensity. Stay away from it. That's the best way to do that.
No,
is to stay away.
No. Then tell me this. Why is it that you've got so many people now who are walking so close to the edge of inside of drug use? I mean, come on now. We got a lot of people.
I'm just telling you,
on.
I mean, ecstasy, you have a good time, you get high, you're in the club, you had a good, you know, because people, look at most celebrities. They got all the money, they got all the women, and they around here, they if it ain't drugs, they sleeping with guys, they sleeping with each other, they get bored. They get bored because there's a vacuum in there, like they're missing. So a lot of them get bored and they wind up doing different stupid things because they don't have any, you know, us on the outside looking in like, man, you got everything you could ever want,
so
hundreds of millions of dollars.
Person,
why are you doing drugs?
What causes one person to get into it and one person to get out?
That's like saying what causes one person to be ambitious and another person not to be. That therein,
I know a lot of folks doing drugs, and my question is, what causes one person to get in and one person to get out? And I'm not talking about them being raped. I'm talking about them not having any hope. I'm talking about them having.
But everybody on drugs ain't just hopeless.
So why is
everybody on drugs
not
just hopeless?
Why are we not promoting don't do drugs?
I agree, but I know a few guys that could have been NBA ball players that are on crack.
That is nothing
life
to do
was
with
great.
What I asked
I don't
you.
See, what was wrong? What? You talk to them, they'll tell you, man, them was the good old days. Wasn't nothing wrong with their life back then? Why did they wasn't hopeless.
How do you know wasn't nothing wrong with their life back then?
Oh, man, because they'll tell you.
There was something wrong with their life back then.
They'll tell you, look, man, I just started hanging with the wrong crowd.
Come
I just started
now.
Hanging with the wrong crowd, and they did it, and I just started doing it because they, I'm telling you.
So I'm doing drugs because you doing drugs?
Yeah.
So I'm going to yep. take a needle, or I'm going to go and snort some cocaine, or I'm going to do this because of what? Peer
look,
pressure?
You're thinking logically. You're thinking logically. It don't make sense. It, that,
you already told me
truth,
I think like a liberal today, so I might as well get it good. I'm serious.
Okay. Everybody is not destitute that get on drugs. I'm trying to tell you that.
I didn't say destitute. I didn't say destitute. I said hopeless. Hopeless has nothing to do with destitute. It has nothing to do with money. It's a mindset. It causes people to say, I can do this, I don't care.
I was thinking despair another way. But even still, what I'm saying is everybody that gets on it is not down and out in some sort of form or fashion where, oh, I ain't got no other way. I'm going to get high to get away from it. That's the that's the moral, that's the liberal thing that they let you see on TV in Hollywood. A lot of them folks get on drugs because they running with the wrong crowd, peer pressure, and that's about probably, if you took away peer pressure, man, you probably cut down at least 60% of the doggone drug use right there. Then a lot, then once you get accustomed to something, that's it. You got a college dorm, you stay in a dorm, your roommate gets high. You don't. You're in that dorm room every day, he's smoking right there. You know how easy it is for that person to get out a year from that, the next, by the end of that semester, they smoking weed too? Go to college. That's one of the biggest places. You could send a kid up there clean and wholesome. They come out, they go both ways. I'm telling you, that's how it works. That's how it works.
No.
You send that same kid around some different individuals with different progressive mind states that's doing different things, then they won't do it. It's just your environment has a lot to do with it. So people get around these certain individuals, they get accustomed to smoking weed, doing these drugs, and next thing you know, they getting high. That's how it works.
Most of the time. So all these people that's getting high, because we got a major drug problem in America.
I didn't say all. It's like you're thinking in absolute. I'm not saying perfectly everything all the way is like that. There are circumstances where people had a rough childhood. They miserable.
I'm just saying. Overall.
They can have something wrong in their life and they feel like they need to turn to drugs.
A rough childhood can just be a dad walking away from his family. A rough childhood can be a divorce of their parents.
Yeah, but you're just making straw man arguments, not Tracy, because
What I'm saying is, when I say a rough childhood can be a parent that get divorced when a kid is 13. A rough childhood can be abandonment when moms and dads split, or you don't know your father. That you can have a rough childhood and not have a rough childhood. Because rough is perceived in my own mind. My question is,
what I'm saying. I mean, look, we got the lights and gas I just kept it moving.
Right. But you kept it moving. But my question is, when do we start teaching young people and teaching people that you don't really want to go into drugs? When's the last time you really saw somebody promoted and say, this is what you look like when you're on meth? 6 months on meth will make you look haggard in a heartbeat. When do we start teaching that again?
Look.
That's my question.
I told you the government is involved in the business. If you don't want to look at it honestly, then you're kind of running your blood pressure up for them. The government involved in it. So therein is your answer. They don't care because they're making money.
Then why are we spending so much money on it?
That's smokescreen. Come on. And then another thing, do you honestly believe that the budget that they give us is the budget that we really have? When Muammar Gaddafi had $300 billion, they find stacks of $100 bills in Libya. Where do you think he got it from? From the government, from us, from the Federal Reserve, printing up this money, giving it to him. We don't know what's going on. We in the dog. But you can look and clearly see that the drugs is not supposed to end. Just like certain things aren't supposed to end, just like the black, you know, incarceration.
Black on black crime.
That's on purpose. You can't tip that. That don't even make sense. That's done on purpose because they're trying to lock us up. They're trying to exterminate us with abortion.
So when do I actually start promoting lack of drug use for myself, for my own family, for my own kids?
You got to take care of your own. That's all you can do.
No, I got to do more than that.
Go out and talk to others. That's all you do is talk. I mean, that's all you could do. I ain't saying talking is bad because knowledge comes through talking. I mean, you're hearing. So hearing, you know what the scriptures are. So, I mean, I understand. Yeah,
but hearing comes by the word of God. Listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, the Ford Focus offers quick, nimble performance, advanced technology, and great mileage. Lease a new Focus today with no cash due at signing. Another reason why Ford is the number one brand in Northeast Ohio.
The Cumulus Health Club and Ragazine Dental Care present today's health tip.
Your child's developing teeth can benefit from a little fluoride. This mineral prevents tooth decay by strengthening tooth enamel and making it more resistant to acids and harmful bacteria. Your child can get fluoride from toothpaste and from water. Most municipal water supplies are fortified with adequate fluoride. Call your local water authority to find out about yours. If yours isn't, or if you get your water from a well, ask your child's dentist whether you should give your child a supplement. You can get a prescription for a fluoride supplement in the form of drops or chewable tablets. Bottled water and fruit juices may also contain fluoride, although the amount isn't always listed on the label. This health tip has been brought to you by Dr. Ragazine, where family dentistry is the cornerstone of his practice. Establishing healthy habits at a young age is key to a lifetime of good dental health. Call 330-545-8120 or visit RagazineDentalCare.com.
For high-end solid wood products, trust the Amish craftsmanship of Weaver's Furniture. Living rooms, nurseries, bedrooms, dining rooms, entertainment centers, offices, bookcases, and more. Handcrafted from oak, hickory, cherry, maple, and quarter-sawn white oak. Custom orders are available. Just stop by the Weaver's Furniture Showroom at 4537 Gates Road, Middlefield, Ohio. Check out the country home decor items while you're there. For store hours and more, call Weaver's Furniture 440-693-4685.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassetech.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling. Because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The jury in George Zimmerman's murder trial is hearing from a forensic pathologist who is an expert in gunshot wounds. ABC's Aaron Katursky on what the defense hopes to learn from him.
The defense called Dr. Vincent DeMaio to help suggest George Zimmerman shooting Trayvon Martin was a defensive act.
This is consistent with Mr. Zimmerman's account that Mr. Martin was over him, leaning forward at the time he was shot.
The sight of Martin's fatal gunshot wound enlarged on a courtroom screen was too much for some jurors and for his father. Tracy Martin hung his head, cast his eyes down, able to bear only a few glances. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Sanford, Florida.
The community of Prescott, Arizona will honor the 19 elite firefighters who gave their lives protecting the town from an out-of-control wildfire.
The event is being held inside a large arena, but thousands more are expected to fill surrounding parking lots and watch a closed-circuit feed. And there's a chance of severe thunderstorms. Prescott Mayor Marlon Kirkendall says there's a bigger problem with that.
Every time there's a little rain, there's a little lightning with it, and that's where most of our exposure comes from is lightning.
At each lightning strike brings a chance of more flames and more danger for firefighters like the ones being memorialized here.
Jim Ryan, ABC News, Prescott, Arizona.
President Obama's choice for FBI Director James Comey answered questions today for a Senate panel. Some student chefs are being honored at the White House today at the second annual Kids State Dinner.
You guys should really know that this is what it's like to be a part of an official state dinner. We set this event up and we mirrored it exactly to what people experience when we host world leaders here.
The winners are from each state in First Lady Michelle Obama's Let's Move Lunchtime Recipe Challenge. Some of those recipes are on the menu today. The Dow is up 83 points, NASDAQ ahead 21. This is ABC News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
You might think your dishwasher is one of the cleanest places in your house, but a new study finds there's a lot more going on in there than you may suspect. ABC's Karen Chase has the story.
A hidden danger may be lurking in your dishwasher. Two separate studies found 62% contain sickening fungus and mold that could cause lung infections. Scientists say the interior of the machines, with the perfect storm of heat, moisture, and alkaline, are breeding grounds for pathogenic black yeasts that don't occur in nature. However, experts say only those with weak immune systems need to worry. Karen Chase, ABC News.
The Coast Guard's closed a section of the Mississippi River southeast of New Orleans so a tugboat that sank over the weekend can be salvaged. Spokesman says a mile-long stretch of the river was closed this morning near the town of Venison. Could stay that way for about 12 hours. The boat sank on Saturday. The river was closed from then until Sunday night as authorities searched for the tug and made sure that it didn't pose a navigation hazard. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Does your basement or crawl...
Valvoline Motor Oil with next-gen technology. All the engine protection you will ever need in a 50% recycled oil that is designed specifically for today's hotter running engines. Finally, performance meets environment. Valvoline Motor Oil with next-gen technology.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM
600. It is open mic. And I want to hear from you today. And if you have anything you want to say, give me a call at 347-945-5229. I was talking about drugs, and me and Alabama were having a conversation. And he was, you know, I agree on some things, but I really believe that we need to put an atmosphere of hope back into people so that they can have a better quality of life. Because a lot of people are walking zombies. You know, I hear a lot of people saying today, people are just walking around mad. We talk about road rage, but people just walking around mad. People just upset. They just we've pitted ourselves one against another, thinking that other people have a better life when we don't realize that everybody's going through the same thing, just a different direction or a different way. So we make other people think that, you know, my house is better than your house, when in actuality, all of our houses are just the same. The real estate may be different. You may mean, because money doesn't bring, let me say it this way, money does not bring happiness. You would think that it would, that all your cares would be over and the bill collectors wouldn't be chasing you down. But in actuality, money doesn't bring you happiness. You have to be happy where you are and content where you are no matter what. And if you don't have that kind of contentment where you are, money's not going to change it. And so that's just true beans. Listen, I am reading, I got somebody sent me an email, and it says that the federal government has signed, and President Obama, at the hands of President Obama, on July the 6th, and let me make sure the date I got this right, of 2012. This was done in 2012, that the federal government made, President Obama signed an executive order taking all federal communications, and it's called Assignment of National Security and Emergency Preparedness Communication Functions, which means they have all control over all that we hear and all communication sources. And, you know, you guys know I have a problem with the Snowden issue. You guys know that I have a problem with the government spying on people. And see, that's what I'm saying. People have lost hope, but yet the government is spying on us. And in free countries, your government does not spy on you. And right now, the American government is spying on its citizens through metadata. And metadata is so it's so comprehensive and so vast. You think that they're not listening to your conversations. No, they're not. And they know more about you from not listening to your conversation than they do if they were to listen in your conversations, because you don't think that you're saying things. But we fail to realize as people, we say more things in silence and in action than we do in a verbal way. Truly, you'd be surprised what you say in your body language than you do when you're not talking. So when you look at metadata and when you look at all of the sources of digital data and footprints that you make in a day, you'd be surprised how much I know about you, and I never listen to one word you actually said anywhere. But what I do is I take your public records across the globe, and everything is digitized. I take your health records across the globe. I take your purchasing across the globe. I take, and when I say purchasing, so remember, none of us, most of us, have never read the terms and conditions of all those cards that we use at Walgreens, at Sparkle, at Giant Eagle grocery stores. You know, if you use your cards, you get the deal. If you don't use your cards, you can't have the deal. All that kind of stuff, they take all that information and they mesh it together, and they mesh it together with other sources. It's not just one source. And they come up with a profile of you. That's why I'm asking you on why, you know, if they know so much about us and they know what's going on, why don't they do something to try to make the quality of life of Americans better? And I'm saying, don't give me, don't give me a welfare card. Teach me how to get off of welfare. 843, your mic is on.
Good afternoon, Tracy.
Good afternoon, Mike. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I was just quietly listening here.
I don't mind. You're coming on in 20 minutes, so I might as well kidnap you now. But I'm just saying, we're being followed by America, and we're being followed by marketers and people that study what they call analytics. Mm-hmm. And they are profiling you down to where you're not paying attention. And they know so much about you. And it is so important that you understand that, and that this is not a free country when you spy on your citizens. I don't think we understand that. And I know you say, well, I ain't doing nothing. I know you're not doing anything. But if I impose something that you don't want to do, then you've just done something. And if they were trying to do good in the neighborhood, then they would make sure that we were not doing drugs. They'd make sure our children had all the tools that they need. They'd make sure that they can pinpoint all the profiles of all of that, then they would make sure that people had the information that they needed to vote to be an informed voter. And I'm talking about on just local races, like your school board and your city council, things that make a difference with you. That has to happen. So, Mike, how you doing today, honey?
I am doing really well, and I'm hearing you. You're doing well, too. You're on target.
I'm doing good. I just want people to – I believe people deserve better than they're getting.
I understand, and I do, too, and I feel your passion on that. And I was just – that's why I was just quietly listening. Since the beginning of the show, I've been listening to some of the discussions you've had with some of your listeners, and I'm going, go, girl, go, girl, go.
I believe we deserve better. We do.
Yeah, we do.
But you got to take it.
Exactly.
And I might as well segue into talking to you because, you know, nobody's going to – my mom told me in life, nobody's going to – I could have anything that I wanted, but nobody was going to give me anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what she told me.
Yeah.
That I have to work hard and go get it.
Yep. You and I must have had the same mom.
Probably so.
Yeah. You're the you have to become the agent of change in your own life.
So how do we – why are we not instilling that in our young people?
Because
right now everybody's walking around mad, and they're walking around as though they're all victims. Even the rich people are victims now.
Yeah. That concerns me more than unemployment or anything else that goes on in this country, drugs, politics, anything. It's a sickness of the heart that's plaguing this country right now. People just don't have hope, and they don't think they have the ability to go get hope. They don't think they have the ability to affect change in their own life, and they are so wrong. This is still America, and they just don't get it. They are in charge of their own life, and they don't get it. They just don't get it.
Mike, you're blind.
Yes, ma'am.
And you can see that. Mike,
yes, ma'am.
I mean, and I say this sincerely. Mike is our guest today, and he's going to hang out with us. He's been with us for the last couple of weeks, and it's an honor and privilege to have him with us. But, Mike, you're blind. You can't see.
Right.
So if anybody should be a victim, it should be someone who cannot see. Because when I close my eyes, if I had to function that way, and I've done it, you know, when my lights go out, and I've got to go down to the breaker box, and I pray that everything is in the right place when I went down the stairs, so I don't land on my tuchus.
Uh-huh.
Tell me, how is it that you can find hope to where you can become self-sufficient, and I can't find hope, and I have all of my faculties?
Hope is like anything else you train yourself for. It starts when you're young. The ability to dream, the ability to have hope. There was an interesting study that they just did, and it's been out in the news the last few days, the CDC, Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, federal agency. Children that can answer simple questions about their grandparents, like where were your grandparents from? What do you know about your family? That have a system of roots and belief because of that. And children who are also brought in on the family discussions that stuff goes wrong and not everything is perfect, and that, you know, grandpa once lost something and grandma once was done dirty, and, you know, we've been, you know, they get the sense that life has ups and downs, but you get through it. And they have a sense of identity of where they came from. And I was listening to a conversation you were having about peer pressure.
Yeah.
Peer pressure only works because of the exact same thing that you were talking about. It's peer pressure works because you don't have any hope. See, you don't
have
hope.
I'm not my own person.
Yeah, you don't believe in yourself. You don't believe that you could ever have friends unless you yield to the stupidity of the masses and get included. You don't believe that you have any self-worth. So you yield to pressure, peer pressure. And early on, being blind, being raised in an inner-city housing project, being the only blind kid in the project out of 277 families, gangs, et cetera, broken home. Mother was an immigrant to this country. Dad ran off. He was an alcoholic. And, you know, and all those things, I had to hold on to who I was. And believe me, there were times as a kid I wanted to sell my soul just to have a friend sometimes, to be accepted. But, you know, I was raised with a little bit of self-respect early on as a kid, that you don't need to stand for that stuff. And anybody who would be your friend at that superficial level wasn't a real friend. And you don't need to be part of that group. You don't need to be part of that crowd.
But how do I begin to change that thought so that I can make people have hope in themselves? Because right now, hopelessness is killing.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Our society. It is like a cancer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because hopelessness makes me a follower, not a leader.
I understand. Yeah. It makes you worse than a follower. It makes you a sheeple. You just follow the pack, whatever they tell you. You believe it because at the end of the line, there's a trough full of slop, and they want you to eat out of it because they're telling you that's the best you can do. And that's not true. And there is so much you can do. But, okay, if parents out there, start getting some self-respect for yourselves so your children see people with dignity and self-respect so that you don't raise another generation of hopeless people with no self-esteem and which peer group pressure would work for. If you're already an adult and you're on your own, you can't change what your parents didn't do for you. We don't have a time machine. We can't go back and set that straight. But you need to get a grip on this moment on. You draw the line in the sand, you develop a spine, you get some righteous indignation and say, no more. It changes with me today. I am the agent of change in my own life. I'm unhappy with what I see going on. It's not anybody's fault except mine. I accept full responsibility. I man up or ma'am up, whichever gender is appropriate. And from that moment on, you don't accept what you used to accept. And it really is that easy. And because and I was sharing this with you a few days ago, Tracy, and we kind of just touched on it. Being raised poor, I was fascinated by wealth, and I got curious about how the heck do some people get really, really wealthy when I had a mom who was working for a nickel an hour above minimum wage and barely paying the rent in the project. And I just saw a lot of things. So I went on this 40-plus year study of wealth. And when I looked over I've been doing this now since I was 13 years old. So we're talking over 50 years now. And I saw some commonalities over the last 50 years. And before I share the three things that I saw that all successful people do, and I judge success by more than just money, like their family situation, what people think of them, the esteem people hold for them in public and all. So success to me is a little broader than just what's in your bank account or what are you driving down the street. And but I just want to say people keep thinking today is different somehow. And that's the first lie that everybody has bought into. There's actually more opportunity in this country today because when you look at the last 50 years, I'm 51 years, I'll quote you some interesting statistics here. There have been more new millionaires in this country every single year over the previous year since I started this study when I was 13 years old. And now you look at the last 51 years. We had Republican presidents. We had Democratic presidents. We had presidents that were perceived to be good leaders and presidents that were perceived to be bad leaders. We had up stock markets. We had down stock markets. We had bumper crops. We had natural disasters that created shortages. We had high gas prices, low gas prices. We had war. We had peace. We had terrorist attacks. We had complacency that everything was going well. We had high unemployment. We had low unemployment. We have had every extreme of everything that you could use for an excuse, and yet every year there were more new millionaires than the previous year.
Why is that?
Well, a very wise man that I got to sit with one day for a few hours straightened me out on this. He said, you're the captain of your own ship, and all boats sail on the same ocean. They all have the same tides. They all have the same winds. And he said, tonight, some ships will be wrecked on the rocks, and other ships will make it safe to port with their cargo and cash in. It's the skill of the captain who's running the ship. And in your life, you're your captain. You're an equal opportunity employer in your own life.
Hey, South Carolina.
I know he's there.
I know he is.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
What's going on? Hello?
Oh, not too much. It's just it's nice and warm here in South Carolina. And I'm kind of listening. I really like that analogy, you know, of being the captain of your own ship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like they say, the rising tide, you know, floats all boats.
All
of them.
But see, this is, the issue is you gotta teach people how to steer the ship. And the problem is we haven't even told people that they got a ship to steer. And we're losing because we've not only lost hope, but we've lost the ambition to get out of what we're in to make things better.
Mhm. Yeah. I had a real turning point in my life when I was 11 years old, Tracy. As you had mentioned on the show a couple times before, I was the first blind child in the United States that was allowed to have a public school education. My mother would not let the state confiscate me and put me into a blind home, because that's what they did with blind children up until 1954 when my mother took them on. What's that, almost 60 years ago? And once she had made that grand move, she was willing to go to jail. They were going to put her in jail. And
why were they going to put her in jail?
Because the state, because she wouldn't let the state take me, and they wouldn't allow me in public school, so she was just going to keep me home. And they said, no, your kid got to go to school. It's got to go to school our way. And I'm blessed. I had a couple of things that fell into place all at the same time. Number one, my mother was in the underground during the Second World War. And my mother didn't have to take sides. My mother was an only child from a wealthy family in Europe. They had political connections and all. And she could have stayed on the sidelines and just kissed the ring of whoever won the war. But she knew what was right. Her mother got involved, she got involved, and her father got involved. And when I see movies like Schindler's List and all that, I can identify with that. Because when I went back after high school, the only time I ever went over there, I met my grandmother, my mother's mother. My grandfather had died by then. I had 400 people come and hug me and greet me at a train station because I was her child. And these were people from the prisoner of war camps that she had smuggled food into and medicine under the barbed wire at the risk of her own life.
Wow.
Okay. She risked her life for 6 years to fight the government that would knock on your door and grab your kid at 8 or 10 years old and the state took control of your child, the fascists. Okay. And the Nazis and the communists were doing it too. And she thought that it was, and when she came to this country, she spoke six languages. English was her seventh language, so she could become a citizen. And so her English wasn't all that good in those days. And all she got out of that conversation was that some representative of the state, and of course over in Europe, the word state doesn't mean like it means here. It means official, all-powerful government is what it means, was going to take her child. And she thought to herself, I risked my life for 6 years fighting governments that thought they had this kind of power. I'll be damned if I come to the freest country in the world and they take my child. And that's when she fought them. And she won, because just then we had a congressman who was elected who spoke one of my mother's languages so she could communicate with him. The state of Connecticut, where I was born, had two veterans hospitals in it from the Korean War. And more guys were blinded during the Korean War than the World War II, because of the type of munitions they had switched to. And one of those blind hospitals, veterans hospitals, was in Connecticut. So there already was the germination of a what to do with blind people program in the state of Connecticut. It was for adults. It wasn't for children. And the grammar school principal and the first grade teacher and the teachers raised their hand and said, we're willing to take on the challenge. Let's see what we can do with this child.
Mike, how did you do that? I mean, how did you go through school not seeing, I know you probably read in Braille.
No,
I'm just
never learned Braille. Public school didn't teach it.
So how did you have never learned Braille? So how do you read?
Thank God to all the technology now. It's you know, you've got all these digital things you can hear and audio books and all that. For years and years ago, things were put on reel-to-reel tape. That's how long ago we're talking. Matter of fact, the Danbury State Prison, which is a white-collar prison, as you know, it's where all Nixon's men went, those were the more, quote-unquote, educated prisoners. So they literally would read onto a reel-to-reel tape recorder, and in high school, that's how I would get through books and stuff. They would read a chapter of a book onto a tape. Other than that, I am totally educated by conversation, the radio, and the television, which you can hear with your own two ears, and, of course, that's where more of being your own captain. Do I listen to rap? No. Do I listen to hate stuff? No. Do I listen to violent stuff? No. Do I watch violent movies? No. I don't need any made-up drama. I experience enough violence in my life.
Mike.
You know?
Mike.
Yeah.
You're blind.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you going to watch a movie?
Well, I listen to it.
You're picking on me.
See,
so
now you're going to ask me to prove that I can prove you're a black woman. Now, I can't even do that, Tracy. So, my friends who did some research about your show told me she's a pretty woman, that you're very attractive. So, there's a compliment from
my
assistant.
Who said that? What, do I need to send them a check or something, or send them a cookies or something?
No, just next time you run for political office, let us know, and we can make donations. So,
wait a minute. They Googled me, huh? Don't Google me.
Well, you never know what you'll find when you Google.
I know, but
we saw that you ran for a political office. We saw that you did not make it. That kind of broke my heart. We saw more about the show. I saw some of the past episodes of the show, and I was able to give some listen to some of it and get a feeling for who your family is. You know, Jeff and Styx and Alabama and South Carolina and some of the other good folks that call in. I heard, you know, Chicago and Michigan and, oh, my word, Derek from Colorado and, you know, all those folks. And you built yourself a nice little sandbox here of playmates, I'll tell you.
I got some good friends.
You really do.
And it's really not all about us. It's really not all about me. It's about one unit. And as I said a little bit earlier, because I've got to take a break in just a second, but as I said a little bit earlier, it really is about community and having common unity and agreeing to disagree and realizing that we don't have to put on airs to be successful. But we have to have respect one for another.
We have to.
And to move forward with that and to fight with what we agree on. Even if we have to fight each other with what we don't agree on and compromise so we can have an amicable decision. And if we can do that, we'll win.
Now, how close are you to your break?
I'm break now.
Oh, I wanted to do the phone number for you.
You can do the phone number for me.
Okay, if anyone wants to call in and join the conversation, that's 347-945-5229 WSOM. And that stands for Woman Staying on Message. That's Tracy.
Oh, that was pretty good. I'll be right back.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. She is great.
Hey, man, it's getting warm out there.
Yeah, I know. I'm in the office in the air conditioning. So.
I just got back to the office.
How are your eyes? Are you going to horn in on my blind gig? You're going to want my corner because you're tough? You're going to kick me off my corner, bully?
Well, they told me that the reading glasses that I was using weren't strong enough.
Okay.
And that that I have developed an astigmatism.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to get glasses for far away. And the difference between bifocals,
mm-hmm.
single vision glasses, was $73.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, listen, you know, you're talking $73 for one pair of glasses?
Yeah.
All right. you know, that's the difference between putting bifocal in and not having bifocal.
Yeah, and Benjamin.
And I said, listen.
Benjamin,
what I'll do is I'll go to Rite Aid.
Mm-hmm.
They have the buy one, get one free.
Mm-hmm.
I will buy me one set, and I'll get the other set, and I'll just switch out.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to spend that much money on a bifocal like that when, you know, the possibility of 2 years I'm going to need another strength, and then I can't keep the glasses that I've got. I got to buy a whole new set.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah. Well, Benjamin Franklin invented bifocals, and he refused to get a patent on them. He said they would help the world. So the fact they should charge you anything for them other than the cost of the plastic is outrageous. It's not like they're paying royalties on them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, he said that happens with age. So
yeah.
Nothing to worry about. Everything else was terrific, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So is anybody listening in today? From South
Carolina? I don't know who's listening in from South Carolina. We did put up on Facebook that I'd be doing this interview today, so I don't know who's listening in or what. But, you know, Alabama did call in earlier, and he's a good guy. He works hard and everything else, you know, he's an entrepreneur. He's self-employed and stuff. I don't know exactly what he does, but I wish he could find a little peace, though, for himself, you know, about, because he is concerned about other people, and I have the suspicion he's just one of those sleeping giants that has a lot to offer people. And I'd like to see him discover some of his stronger points and get out there and realize that, you know, he's great in his own right. He's got a good message. More people need to hear from him. So, you too, South Carolina, hiding behind a state's name. It's already been taken. So.
Did I lose you, Mike?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Bill, you know, what was said on the show this morning, Bill.
Yeah.
It's not about us.
Yep.
You know, but you've had individuals that have been in office for so long.
Yeah.
Or held a position for so long that they think the people are to serve them. Instead of, you know, vice versa.
Yeah, yeah.
Their egos get so out of whack that they'll gladly tell you, well, I'm the representative from so-and-so, or I'm the senator from so-and-so. You need to respect me.
Yeah.
No, sir. I need to respect your position.
Well, that's what Bill and I were saying after the show. Bill and I were talking an hour after the show, and it's like he wants to get these two guys together because I'm hearing nothing but ego from both of them because – you know, ego is the title. Well, I'm the such and such. Well, who cares? What do you do for me? You know, what have you done for the people?
Mm-hmm. Which particular person were y'all talking about this morning? Because I kind of got there late.
He was getting into that thing there about the Treasury and the pension fund and the treasurer, Curtis Loftus, and this guy named Reynolds.
Okay. Oh, that. Okay.
And Bill and I agreed on the year that we're both over that. You know.
Mhm.
We just heard enough of it. It's like, bottom line, the report isn't in yet. Show me the liquor sheet. Show me what it did to help the citizens. Then I'll have an opinion. Until then, everything else is just ego squabbling.
Everything else is right. Right.
That's crap, you know.
I just say, public office, you know, until you get anything else, everything is just in the wind.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, Emily's got Friday off this week. I don't know. How's Thursday look for you for lunch? I know Wednesday's your fishing day.
Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday actually looks pretty good.
Yeah? Let me see what I can work out, okay?
Okay.
Because I had to put in a real long day yesterday so that I had transportation over to Bill's and everything, because I didn't want to miss that, you know? So I met Keith, and I cannot pronounce his last name, but he's the county coroner. What a nice man.
I have not met him yet.
He was 27 years with the Sheriff's Department as a fatal crime scene investigator.
Yes.
You know, and he's just a real nice man. And, of course, my wife, Bunny, was a med tech before she became disabled, so Keith gave me a business card. Give it to her. I'll talk shop with her all day long, because I imagine he goes home. His wife doesn't want to hear it, you know. So.
But, several times I fought there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. I should live in Florence County, but.
And you're listening to Tracy and from
I don't know.
US from AM 100. The number is 347-945-5229. And I am talking with Jeff Green here. And then he's in the studio, and he's sitting here. He got stuff. He got eggs all over it. Don't even look good.
I heard you eating yesterday, by the way.
No, I didn't eat yesterday.
Well, today.
That wasn't today either.
Mm-hmm.
No, I eat pizza on the way in from Wedgwood. Uh-uh. Wasn't today.
This was nuts or something.
Nope. Not yesterday. Not today. Stuff. Absolutely. Don't you do it, because you talk with
and
a mouth.
You got issues.
No, you talk with a mouth full.
On purpose.
No. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm okay. I know enough sense not to talk on the radio with my mouth full, Jeff.
Not on this
First
radio.
Of all, you can't let your audience know that you're that prosperous. You have food when there's hungry people in your town.
See, that's it.
They'll take away your liberal badge.
That's right.
Hey,
Mike, you're
Jeff,
good.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Guess what, Jeff?
Yeah.
Twinkies are coming back. They'll be on the shelf this Friday.
I heard.
What?
I can't eat
Twinkies.
Them.
Twinkies.
Twinkies are coming back.
And there's hope
Twinkies
for America.
Twinkies are coming. I just want to know, are they bringing back
with
the
extended
covered,
shelf life? Don't know. They've got an extended shelf life, Tracy. They can last up to 45 days on the shelf now.
Yep. I'm seeing them on the survival websites is storing them for food case just in case.
I just want to know, are the powdered covered donuts coming? I'm not a Twinkie eater, so they can keep those off. I don't care if they never bring Twinkies back. I want to know, are they going to bring back the powdered covered donuts?
You can get the powdered covered donuts in any of the national chains of donuts.
No. Hostess powdered covered donuts.
It's a
difference.
Brand loyal on me. Yeah, well.
There's a difference. I don't cheat on my donuts. I don't call Krispy Kreme donuts something different because it's not. I don't call McDonald's French fries Burger King French fries because they're definitely not it.
Nope.
Don't call it Arby's roast beef, a beef sandwich from somewhere else. Everybody has their specialty. Just never. And for some reason, I don't know why, we allow them to change their specialty. Because, you know, it's like Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's Kentucky Fried. You can't go fried chicken over at McDonald's and say it's Kentucky Fried Chicken.
No, you can't.
They did it at Hardee's.
Hardee's had good chicken.
That was actually Carl Jr.'s chicken.
But it wasn't Kentucky Fried.
Carl Jr.'s, wow.
No, Carl Jr. didn't do a good chicken. And neither did Jack in the Box.
Jack in the Box did the best breakfast sandwiches in the world, I'm going to just tell you. I know at 2 and 3 in the morning when we had been in the service, I was. When we had been out all night long, Jack in the Box was our friend.
Now, you know what? I wouldn't eat a Jack in the Box because they were owned by Farina.
I know nothing about it. Did not care.
It's a girl thing. Hey, Mike.
Yes, ma'am.
What are you doing now? You're a carpenter?
No, actually, I haven't worked in the trades in a couple of years. I run a couple of companies. I have one's a research and development company, and we're working on lots of different projects and stuff. We got almost 200 patents and copyrights and things we're working on, and that's kind of fun. But my trades have definitely helped me. I started out working in all trades, Tracy. I actually worked in 13 trades and achieved a level of master in 9 of them.
What trades were those?
I worked as an electrician, heating and HVAC, heating and plumbing, pipe fitting, carpentry, of course, owned a commercial roofing company for a couple of years, did vinyl siding, vinyl replacement windows, framing, built houses. I'm a little weak on the masonry skills. That's one of the ones I just never put time into. Cabinet making, you know, put down floors. I've done whatever I had to do to bring home food.
Okay, now let me. I have to ask this question.
I hope
Mike,
it's politically correct now, because I'll cry and then I'll get
you
the
might
ACLU
get
in
your,
there.
Go get your tissues.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. When you say you did all this stuff.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you just own the company, or did you actually do the actual work?
Honey, I had to own a company. Nobody would hire me and even give me the chance. So I had to start my own company, and I actually have documented success that's up at my website where I've actually started companies because people wouldn't hire me, and I built those companies so big that in 2 years down the road I was hiring them to hand them the work. They were working for me, but they wouldn't give me a job. And I just got I got out there and empowered myself totally. The first thing I had to overcome was, how do I get to the job? Well, in the early days, I used to go to some of the rehab programs and stuff and find people that just needed someone to believe in them, ex-convicts, recovering alcoholics or drug users, and I would just pay them to drive me to a job. And then in time, their cars were junk. Most of them didn't have valid driver's license, so I had to solve all their problems and keep their cars repaired and stuff. So I became a pretty darn good mechanic just from doing that. And ended up working as a bus mechanic, lead mechanic for a bus company one time down in Miami because of what I learned as a mechanic. And you just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. Then the next hurdle I had to overcome was I never was going to have a driver's license. And then I realized it'd probably easier to own my own truck. So I went and got a truck and kept it running by spit and baling wire and chewing gum and duct tape, and then had to get my own insurance on it, which was triple what ordinary insurance is. You hear people, well, I can't drive, I don't have insurance. And insurance, my insurance was triple.
Why was
what
your insurance?
Person
you
so anyone
it.
Could drive the truck. Yeah, so anyone could drive the truck, including these people that had marks against their licenses, you know, that I used to have to hire. Tracy, the first 15 years of my working career, I worked for one-third to one-half of prevailing wages for my skill level, and most of what I earned went to pay the person who drove me.
But I wasn't
going to sit home and do nothing.
Did you get a chance ever to become a part of a union?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I was a union member 4 times.
So you
We won't go there, Trace. I remember one job I had working in a printing plant, third shift. I was on that shift, paid an extra 10 cents an hour. That's why I took it. And it was when I was trying to work my way through college. And that was so funny because that shift was all the people who couldn't get respectable day jobs or the guys who needed to take any job to make parole. It was a rough shift I worked with in a printing plant, and I had to belong to 3 unions there because of what my hands touched. They touched the printing press, so I had to belong to the pressman's union. They touched the pallets of material, so I had to belong to the dock workers union, and I had to belong to the paper handlers of America because I touched paper, and I'm the lowest paid guy in the place. And 1 week's paycheck every month went to just union dues.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229 if you want to join into this conversation. Mike, did you get a chance, opportunity to get hired into union jobs, or were you always the owner?
No.
I
was hired into those. I did work for a carpenter's union once for 1 week, and I just found that the union's not my cup of tea. I ended up giving back most of my paycheck as fines because all I wanted to do was keep busy and keep working, and I kept breaking union rules. So after a week, I said, the heck with this, I'm out of here.
So when you actually, you know, got these positions, how hard was it for you to get people to hire you
when they knew you couldn't see, especially for, I mean, look at the liability that I can see them now. Oh, no, they can't. I mean.
Okay.
Oh, because we have something called OSHA here.
Yes, I understand. And that's why I had to start my own businesses, be self-employed, because most of the time I couldn't get people to hire me. And when I started my own companies, I worked for slumlords. They were the only one because I could work cheap enough to meet their needs that they overcame their prejudice against me being blind because I could work cheap enough and keep the health department off their backs. So I started out doing repairs in slums and things. Of course, got to remember, I was raised in a housing project. The ghetto doesn't scare me. Those are my people, Tracy. That's my roots. I'm not afraid of poor people.
So, Mike,
you know, the guys from the suburbs fear going into the inner city. I was raised in the inner city. I mean, you know, that was home to me.
All these people have all these excuses about why they can't get ahead in life.
I've heard them, and I heard you champion one the other day. And shame on you, the man who lost his driver's license because he wasn't paying his child support or whatever that story was. Okay,
I have a problem.
Bottom line was, I never had a license, and I still found a way to get to work. People help people who try to help themselves. That's what I will tell you about this country. You know, Tracy, I've traveled around this country a lot as an adult. And usually I take about $100 or $200 cash when I'm flying or whatever. And it's in my pocket just in case. You know, you got to pay taxi cabs. You got to pay this. You got to pay that. For a five-year span back in the late 90s into the early 2000s, I was traveling so much that I still have frequent flyer air miles left over that I can still get free tickets with. I mean, I was traveling over 100,000 air miles a year just in the continental United States. Now, the reason I tell you this is I was out there in the real world. You know how I used to pay people? I'd reach in my pocket, pull out a big bill or hand them what was in my pocket and say, take what you need. Do you know I never once had anybody rip me off? And who was I dealing with? I was dealing with ethnic cab drivers. I was dealing with the service people at the airports that tend to be minority people. You know, all the people everybody's afraid of. And I never once had one person take a dollar from me more than they wanted. And it was just amazing. It was amazing. I live in a different world than most people because I don't expect the worst.
So how do we get people to overcome their own obstacles? Sincerely, there are a lot of people out there, and they are really having a hard time overcoming life. Because life is tough.
Yeah, life is tough. But it's a series of choices. I'll just share with you something that got me on the right path early in life. It was an experience I had that my mother straightened me out. After my mother made the grandstand to keep me home and be the blind kid staying at home and not being institutionalized, okay, because she wanted me to see the real world, Tracy. She didn't want me to go to some place where there were no stairs and everything was marked in Braille and everything had ropes to guide you and all that. Because she looked at the grammar school where they send blind kids in the state of Connecticut back then, and she looked at it and said, hey, this is he'd be safe here. You know, everybody knows what blind is all about. He wouldn't be running into ignorant people who'd be mean to him and take advantage of him and stuff, you know, because that does happen on the streets, you know, or that was her concern. And then she said to him, well, what's the blind high school look like? And I said, well, we don't have one. And she said, but by the time your son gets out of grammar school, most likely we'll have one. And then she thought another minute and said, and then what? You're going to send my kid to a blind college? You're going to send my kid then to get him, what, a blind job with a blind wife and blind kids? When is my son going to meet the real world the way it is? And so we went back home, and that's when she really took this on. And so she even convinced the softball coach that they needed a blind right fielder. Now we were
Come on.
Yeah. Well, you got to understand, kids aren't that strong, and nobody would hit to right field that much. So I could hear the ball hit the ground. I'd run over, pick it up, because I could hear where it rolled to. And then someone on my team would yell where to throw it, and I'd throw the ball, and that was it. I had a pretty good arm, even though I was a skinny little kid, you know. And,
so you weren't going to make the National Baseball League.
No, it was kind of a fun experience because pretty soon the other team realized that was the gig. So they'd be yelling, no, throw it over here. And as the kids got stronger, I kept having to play further and further out in right field to the point where we played as kids in the projects. We had three diamonds at the park department. And there were times I was so far out in right field that if I wasn't careful, I'd get turned around and get confused from the sounds which game I was in. It was interesting. Well, any one day, the day of reckoning happened. It was an important game, and somebody hit a line drive right to me. It hit me in the glove, and I didn't even see it coming. I had no way of seeing it coming. And, of course, I didn't catch it, and the winning run scored. And I got booed off the field, not by my team, including the coach. I ran home crying. I was about 11 years old at the time. I ran home crying, and my mother was there. And once she checked me to make sure there were no bullet holes, you know how the mom thing, you see what the real problem is, make sure there's no blood leaking anywhere, and then you see what they're really crying about, you know. And so when she heard the whole story, she just said to me in one of her languages, said to me, look, here's how it's going to be. The value of your life is not going to be determined by the few things you can't do, but by the many things you can do.
How do we begin? Because, I mean, again.
And
you
that's
know,
where you got to go. You got to go there.
How?
First.
No. Because, see, environment says coddle, take care of,
yeah.
Be the victim. I'll take
yeah.
care of you.
Yeah.
How do we get people to
well,
stand on their
own? Well, here's what my mother did. Here's what my mother did. She asked me if I wanted a glass of milk. I said no. So she did the nurturing thing first. I said no because I was sulking. She grabbed me by the wrist, jerked me out of the living room chair, spun me around 180 degrees, pointed me to the front door, and pushed me out the door and said, go back outside. Get back in the game. We're all going to have disappointments. We're all going to have letdowns. You've got to have the strength of character to at least get in the game because they only award the win to the players. They don't award the win to the spectators. I don't care how many games you go look at, you're never going to get a Super Bowl ring. You got to be down on the field playing. And the reason I mention that is, remember I told you I studied wealth for all those years, and I had found three things that every successful person does and the unsuccessful people don't do. And the first thing is you embrace the fact that you're in charge of your own life. If you're unhappy and you're feeling unfulfilled, and you want to play the victim, then you need to go find who is in charge of your life, fire them immediately, take back that job, and you are in charge of your own life. You got to man up and man up. You got to accept that responsibility. You're in charge of your own life. The Democrats aren't. The Republicans aren't. You know, your church isn't. You know, it's between you and your God. You have to take charge of your own life. And until you do that, you can't have any success in this life. Then there's two more things I found that they all did, and, you know, we could talk about those later if you want. But you got to accept the responsibility. You can't keep saying you're the victim.
But we don't say we're the victim. We don't even realize we are victims. I said this earlier, and I want Jeff in South Carolina to jump in here. I've said this earlier, and I say this continually. Most people don't know that they are enslaved. They don't know that they're being played the victim. They have no idea of this. So
yeah.
instead of them being actually shackled or handicapped physically,
uh-huh.
they're shackled and handicapped mentally, and
yeah.
they have no clue of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, if some of the people that have called into your show that I've heard over the last couple of weeks would listen to some of your audios of what they sound like, right away they'd see what's wrong with the way they sound and the way they think.
Have you heard me say you don't fix stupid?
Yeah.
Okay. Just remember that.
Yeah, and you don't enlighten unaware until they want to be enlightened. You know
That's
what
correct.
Second thing successful people do is? Once they understand they're in charge of their own life, since they all come to another realization that since nobody is going to benefit greater by their success than they will, who do you think it should fall on to do the bulk of the work for that success?
They usually do it themselves.
Exactly. They were the ones who were committed to the most learning, to putting in the longest hours, to keeping the most integrity, to doing the most studying, to committing the most resources, to putting up the most money. They're the ones to just whatever is needed, they do more, and they don't expect other people in any project they're engaged in will put in more or do more than they will because, after all, they are going to benefit more by their own success than anyone else will, so they know it falls on them to do the bulk of the work for that success. It's not a government program, and I'm so anti-government when it comes to programs. You have to understand, being the first blind child, I told you. I had no books. I had no Braille. I had no audio tapes. All that took years. It took 2-3 years to figure out what I needed, and by the time the government finally got around to getting it, I was beyond needing it. I resourced it myself from a very young age. Same thing went in the construction trades, too, Tracy. You know, if there was a tool that wasn't blind-friendly, I've got the
None of them are blind. I've never seen a blind-friendly tool.
Well, you have to go make them for yourself sometime. You have to modify something that's out there, or you have to come up with a way to use it. Tracy, if you go up to anyonecanwin.com, that's my website. I like that, anyone can win, because I really believe that with all my heart. Anyone can win. If you go up there, you'll see stuff up on YouTube. Me running power equipment, working for Habitat for Humanity, driving nails, doing whatever I got to do to make it happen. The videos are up there. Yeah.
I got to take a break in a few minutes, but those people that they're not going to be back. I know that it's summertime and people are working, but tell me why. Why not just stay home and because you get a free check anyhow.
Yeah, but the life that I wanted for myself wasn't going to come to me on the dole. The government will never pay you enough to live the kind of life I wanted to live. I was trained to serve other people, you know, to help other people. I was never taught that I was poor. I was taught that we only didn't have a lot of cash. You know, we were broke. We weren't poor. I was never taught that I was the one down person. I was taught that I was the worst person, as bad as it was. I still was more blessed than some people I'd run into, and my job was to help them. I never saw myself as a victim.
Do you think that America has a problem with turning healthy people into victims?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have a machine now that's real good at stamping out carbon copies of victimism.
1 in 6 people on welfare, on food stamps, 101 million people not working.
I know. And you know, Jeff, if they did away with the food – see, I believe we're supposed to help those, because that's a Christian principle, a Judeo-Christian principle. I believe that. It's how you help them. If you're helping them to make them lick your boots for the handout, I hope you burn in hell. But if you're helping them in a way that empowers them and gives them dignity and holds on to their self-respect, I'm all for it. I'll stand there and applaud you, and you'll roll up my sleeves, and I'll get in the ditch with you and help you dig. And I really think if they just got rid of the food stamp program, you wouldn't find that it would make that much of an impact. You know why? Because those folks would then have to turn back to family. They would have to turn back to their church. And then the ones who are the gamers, the professional gamers, locally, your locale knows who the gamers are. Jeff, you know the people in your church who say amen and then hit up the pastor for their light bill, but meanwhile they got money for tattoos. You know who they are. You know who they are. Tracy, you know who they are. I do too, you know. Their lights are going to be turned off and this and that. Hey, why don't you come over to Christmas, and you go there and there's more toys under the tree for their kids, 5 times what the light bill was they just hit the church up for.
Mike?
Yes.
That's heavy.
Hey, Mike, now, you're saying things that's going to get you labeled as a racist, my friend.
No, because Tracy's going to lie and tell everyone I'm black.
It happens in, hey, don't think it happens in just black churches.
Yeah,
please,
I wasn't going there.
Hey, listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
SOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
South Carolina, I wasn't even thinking of black people. The guy said about the Christmas tree, he's a white guy.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. An Arizona community is preparing to honor 19 heroes. ABC's Jim Ryan in Prescott, Arizona, where a memorial for a crew of elite firefighters is getting underway.
Sitting in a folding chair outside the arena where the service is being held, Joy Nemechek reads the profiles of the 19 firefighters.
It's pretty sad. Such young families. The families, I think, need all the support they can get.
She says she came partly out of gratitude. The Granite Mountain hotshots were fighting a wildfire not far from her home when they died. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Prescott, Arizona.
More graphic testimony in the trial of George Zimmerman.
Is this evidence, some bleeding to the back of the head?
As defense attorney Don West showed a photograph of George Zimmerman's bloodied head, forensic pathologist Vincent DiMaio testified Zimmerman's injuries were more significant than prior witnesses have suggested.
Your head hit something unyielding on concrete with sufficient force to tear the scalp. You are going to be, at a minimum, stunned.
A pathologist who testified for the state had called Zimmerman's wounds minor. Zimmerman claims he feared for his life when he fatally shot Trayvon Martin. The state says it was murder. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Sanford, Florida.
President Obama's choice to run the FBI says a certain practice would have no place on his watch.
When I first learned about waterboarding, when I became Deputy Attorney General, my reaction as a citizen and a leader was, this is torture. It's still what I think. And to his great credit, Bob Mueller made sure the FBI had nothing to do with that business. And if I were FBI director, it would never have anything to do with that.
James Comey giving Senate testimony. It was a state dinner with a difference. It was earlier, but that's not all.
Michelle never said to me, I can just pick up something with my fingers at a state dinner. So...
The president at the dinner for the winner of the First Lady's Let's Move recipe challenge. This is ABC News.
So I knew it was important to have life insurance to protect our family, but I was putting it off. But then yesterday, a girlfriend of mine asked me, point blank, what would happen if you lost your husband? How would you pay the bills, the mortgage, the car payments, food? And that's when it really hit me, and I realized I needed to get us life insurance right now. So I called AIG Direct. And in less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $17 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing the kids and I are protected. And my husband was so happy I got the quote.
Save up to 70% when you get term life insurance through AIG Direct. Call now for a free, no obligation quote. It only takes 5 minutes, and you could save up to 70%. 1-800-530-4856. That's 1-800-530-4856. Call 1-800-530-4856.
More of us are saying charge it.
As consumer confidence rises, many Americans appear to be less cautious than they were about spending money. The Federal Reserve says Americans increased their borrowing in May. Credit card spending rose more than 8% compared to the year before. Borrowing for autos and student loans also rose. At the same time, fewer people are falling behind on credit card payments. The American Bankers Association says delinquencies fell to the second lowest level since 1990. Richard Davies, ABC News.
A woman who tweeted, "Catch me if you can," after skipping out on her insurance fraud trial in January, has been caught. Prosecutors in San Diego County say Wanda Pogorski was captured on July 4th in Rosarita Beach, Mexico, a popular retirement spot for American expatriates. Pogorski had been convicted and sentenced in absentia last month to more than 20 years in prison, ordered to pay more than $1 million in fines and restitution, and now she faces a charge of failure.
26th anniversary sale going on right now, Marianne. 26 years of satisfying thousands of customers says it all. And in honor of that, we're giving you 26% off on all our great American-made WeatherTight windows, siding, entry and patio doors, kitchen cabinet or facing, and gutter covers. And check out more specials. Check our webpage, myweathertight.com and weathertightwindows.com, or take a short little drive between Youngstown and Warren. We're in Liberty Township, 1596 Motor Inn Drive. We're open from 7 to 4:30, Monday through Friday. We'll keep the window open for you, too. Senior military discounts, check us out with a BBB. Don't forget our window standalone with quality service and value. We are the real deal. Here's the number for the free estimate. 1-800-821-8483. That's 1-800-821-8483. And like always, guys, whether it be one window or house full, Mrs. Mervin, the WeatherTight guarantee you'll be satisfied with WeatherTight replacement windows for the life of your house.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Your favorite station really helps you out. Thanks to iHeartRadio, you can take your favorite station in your mobile device. Download the free iHeartRadio app at iHeartRadio.com.
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S. And now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at your local Bosch retailer today.
Broadcasting from the Ford studios, only the Ford F-150 can haul more and tow more than any other pickup. For a limited time, just sign and drive off in a new F-150 with no cash due at signing. See your local Ford dealer or visit drive1ohio.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor, Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Avoid the rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We're talking about with a gentleman by the name of Mike. And Mike, let me get his last name, so I will get it right. Denizio? Mike, did I get that right?
No, ma'am.
Nope.
That's okay. Took me a few years to get it, too. Dizino, right. Dizino, yeah.
Dizino?
Yeah, Dizino, yep. Mm-hmm.
Dizino, okay.
Yep, Dizino, yep. Tracy.
And Mike,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
You were born legally blind, am I correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
And so you have been, you've really never seen what I've seen.
When I was younger, if it was a real bright light, I could see the light. And if it was reflecting off of a very bright color like red or blue or green or something, I could see the color. And as the years went on after that, it got worse. Today I don't see any colors or anything, haven't for years, so I got to have someone sort my socks for me, otherwise people know I'm blind when I walk down the street.
Now, you know, I knew I knew James Brown. Not James Brown, but what's his name? Ray Charles.
Oh, sure.
And I knew his son, and he was an independent blind man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
As was Christian artist Ken Miedema.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very, very they were independent.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
tell me,
and I am too.
Tell me, what do you do that's so different that, that makes your quality of life great? Because you didn't go, you did not lean in your handicap, and you don't do, you're Braille. You don't read Braille. So tell me,
No. Why
did you decide to just like exit all the blind stuff people and say I'm going to do the seeing people thing?
This now, South Carolina, kidding me before, said that was because of my passion for what I really believe about every human life is valuable, and I won't accept excuses from anybody, myself especially, okay, that I would be called a racist because it sounded like I was targeting black folks, and nothing could be further from the truth. But this is the this is the statement that's going to really get me in trouble and maybe get you off the air when I say what the answer to that. I saw the way blind people were treated, and I didn't want to be trained to be a professional blind person first and a human being second.
How are blind people treated?
They're disabled people in this country. If you let the state take over your life with all the various disabled agencies and stuff, they basically will train you to work in their agency.
Okay.
You know, now, a lot of them have broken out of the mold in recent years, and that's good. But when I was coming through the system, you know, they wanted me to go to college so I could come out with some degree in social work and go to work for the blind agency, telling other blind people they should go to college. At some point, you got to get into the real game where the money is and where the opportunity is, and that's in the mainstream of life, not parked off in the one-down position of being labeled first as a disabled person. So I've always chosen to go the road that's less traveled, a little more difficult, but at least you can hold on to your soul, your identity. And if you have a passion for something you like to do, and I was raised in a blue-collar industrial town where if you were going, when my dad left home, they said things to me like, now you're the man of the house. I took that very seriously as a little kid. That was the 1950s Beaver Cleaver role model of a family, even though my family was far from Beaver Cleaver or Lassie or any of those shows. Being from a broken home and an immigrant mother who was learning the language, and people made fun of her when she tried to speak English and everything else, and people picked on me, you know, so it wasn't the Leave It to Beaver deal. But the values were there, and so I was the man of the house, and that I picked up tools very young. I have recollections of holding tools in my hand way back when I was 3 years old. When you were a man, you did things. And you did things for your mom. You did things for your family. You're supposed to do that. And I think that's where the fracture is right now. We have destroyed the family unit in this country. And I'm sorry, Lyndon Johnson, I hope you found your heavenly reward. And maybe it was what you counted on. But this great society you started turned us into this terrible society. Because
it
disincentivized the family.
So how do we begin to pick this back up again? What is your website?
Anyonecanwin.com. And we're revamping a lot there. If somebody wants to get on my newsletter, and I'll stay in touch with them and share some thoughts and ideas, because we're working on a couple of great, exciting projects right now. And once they get to know me, they'll know that South Carolina is a good friend of mine. He was teasing. I'm not a racist. I'm being blind. The dumbest thing is to do is not like somebody for the way they look.
It's kind of hard to do, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
But I bet you're probably a pretty good judge of character, though. With your discernment having to be heightened.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, when I used to crawl around on top of buildings and climb so many stories high and do all that stuff when in my younger days when I was working the trades, yeah, I lived or died by whether or not I could judge the person I was with. Could I trust what they were, what their judgment was? Oh, yeah, yeah. No, Jeff, it's there's just so much potential in every human being, and it just drives me crazy when they give up on themselves, and that's the passion they're feeling. Because the truth is that in the early days, nobody believed in me except the people who were in the one-down position in society like I was. I can't tell you how many Spanish kids and inner city black kids and stuff came to work with me in my companies, and how many of them, most of them got paid more per week than I took out of the company. And I didn't begrudge them one penny because they made it possible for me to live my dream. I had young black kids who dropped out of high school back in 1985 and 86. I was just looking up some of, they were earning between $1,300 and $1,700 a week back then. And they were wow. And they were earning that money. They were worth every penny of that they were. We were I built no company would hire me to put in the vinyl replacement windows. So I started a company doing my own vinyl replacement windows. Within 18 months, we were the largest consumer of window products from five major manufacturers in the state of Connecticut in 18 months. They were keeping factories open in the winter at the window factories when they used to have to lay people off. They were keeping the factories open just because of my orders. I was creating employment. Isn't that incredible? The guy that nobody would hire ended up creating thousands of jobs. It's the power of one. People just have to get down with that, Tracy. That's where it starts. They have to believe in themselves. And they've got to stop making excuses. A wise man from Mississippi once told me, he said, Michael, if one of us can do it, it's proof that any of us can do it. Go find a role model. If you're a left-handed black guy, go find a left-handed black person who's successful. Offer to go to work for him for nothing, just to be with him, to learn what he did.
We don't hear about – see, this is the issue. They don't tell blind people that they can work, but they tell people with sight that they can't work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you understand where I'm coming from? I mean, I
yeah.
would love to say that all we got to do is tell them just go get up, pick it up and go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I don't get it.
Tracy, I once started a company with a $10 bill. I went and had some business cards printed. Within 3 years, that company was doing over $2 million a year in business. And the first job I got in that company was an 80-year-old lady. The elbow on her gutter, on her rain gutter, had come off, and she wanted someone to fix it. And I just went up and put a screw in it and fixed it for her. Didn't even want to be paid. She absolutely insisted. She was from that generation where you don't take nothing. You know, you pay for everything. And she absolutely insisted, at least give me $5. I took the $5, and I just said, what a mortgage is, just go tell people you met somebody who would be willing to help you, who can get the job done. Within the next 2 weeks, she referred six or seven people to me. That ended up being a company that 3 years later was doing $2 million a year in business just doing home repairs. There's so much opportunity, but you got to get in motion because God can't steer a parked car. If you're sitting home all day, locked behind your door with the shades pulled down, who's going to find you?
But that's not empowerment comes from your own, your internal clock.
Yeah.
And there are so many people who have been discouraged.
Yeah, I understand. But I'm not talking
about it. They've been discouraged by society. And society has done this somewhat on purpose.
Yes.
And so they give you, oh, woe is me. I can't function. I can't do. I'm no good. Help, you know, you got to help me get to where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
To where
mm-hmm.
it is detrimental
mm-hmm.
to their future, and
mm-hmm.
and so you can't fix it. We beat one another up. I just had a conversation with Jeff about something, and I said, I'm not in competition with you. I'm here to do the same thing you're doing. I'm just taking a different path than you're taking.
Yeah, yeah.
But instead of looking at there's two roads that leads to the same destination, and we don't have to compete for the destination. In actuality, I will probably help you in your destination by me doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You would rather hate me for what I'm doing.
No, that's
and,
wrong.
And pardon me?
That's a wrong thing to hate somebody for what they're doing.
But you understand what I mean? We get into a competitive mode for something that we shouldn't be competing for. So
right.
I make you my rival instead of my ally.
Right.
Not realizing we both can do the same thing, and society beats people up for trying to become
mm-hmm.
better.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend of mine in Baltimore, a black man, black businessman, who left a relatively secure job years and years ago to go out on his own and start his own business, and he's retired wealthy and well off. And he just told me that there's this thing in the black community, and I do see it in the disabled community also, where they're like crabs in a bucket. And him being from Maryland, of course, he would make a crab analogy, okay? Crabs in a bucket. They see one try to get out of the bucket, and all the others, the only time they'll do anything is they'll gang up and try to pull him back into the bucket. Other than that, they're perfectly content just laying in the bucket.
But society makes it to where we have to be crabs because we don't understand that if my leg is strong enough, not only can I get out the bucket, but I can throw you out before me. You know, I look at Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
And Oprah Winfrey, she could only make Dr. Phil, Rachel Ray, you know, Dr. Oz and all these people until she became who she was.
That's right. And my message isn't for everybody.
I don't think people understand that.
Yeah, I can't save everybody. I'm trying to reach the heart of the person out there who hears the message we're talking about today, and because of it, will change something tomorrow morning, wake up and do something different, be slightly changed and realize it's through their empowerment, and it has to start with them, that they can become the agent of change for their entire family. They can set into motion the multi-generational financial stability in the family. See, this is where, and I don't normally give people excuses, okay? But this is the unfair side of the black experience in the United States, and I'm very aware of this. You didn't come here as immigrants.
This has nothing to do with that.
No, but what I'm saying is you got cheated out of your great-grandparents being able to self-realize. Like when my great-grandparents came to this country, you know, on my father's side, my mother came here, first-generation immigrant, but my father came, his grandfather came over here. They came here with trades, and even though they were despised and were made fun of because they were the immigrants, they were the new guy on the bottom of the totem pole, they came here with skills that were needed. And, of course, need to need you and use you was greater than their ability to hate you.
No, that's – we're using the slavery thing, and I think this is where Jeff and I totally disagree.
Okay.
We're using the slavery thing as a crutch.
I don't use the slavery as an excuse. It's just that it did rob the black folks of certain multi-generational economic opportunity that during the heydays of the Industrial Revolution.
Absolutely.
But see, this is my issue. We were robbed not of the heyday of the revolution. We were robbed that when we got out and we were just as good as they were, they burnt us down. And every time we strive to bind together and to go forward, they come by and they tear up our community.
Yes,
I don't look at slavery as the problem. I think of slavery as a solution. When we came out of slavery and we began to soar, every time we began to soar, we had obstacles that come in our way, and they were institutional obstacles.
Yeah, well, the soaring after slavery went on for almost two full generations. It wasn't until the late 1890s when there was a global, a worldwide recession that the poor, dumb, ignorant whites had to blame somebody for their situation, and that's when the Klan got started and all that other stuff.
But you got to go back to Black Wall Street. You've got to go back to when we started actually voting, and we started going into becoming senators and becoming congressmen, and they started changing the laws, and the Democrats would get back in and change the laws to make it sure that we could not get voted in again, and we couldn't vote, and that's where this Voting Rights Act came in. Those are the issues. But the problem that I have is in the modern history, current history.
Yeah.
The problem that we have today is this systemic racism that they tend to be blinded to right now that we don't want to look at. Some of it is our fault, but we've got to take ownership that the government of the United States of America is enabling. They're the ones who flooded the inner cities with drugs. They're the ones that told them that they couldn't learn, and when black men wanted to go to work, they demonized work and they wouldn't give them an opportunity.
I understand, and that's why I made the comment I made about the Great Society really turned it into the mediocre society and took it away from great when they started financially incentivizing the breakup of homes in the inner city where the man couldn't stay in the house because they would make less money if he stayed in the house, even if he was working and stuff. The problem is so huge at this point that I don't think there's an institutional solution. It's going to be individuals just one day drawing a line in the sand saying, I have enough. I've had enough,
and I'm just
going to change it for me.
It can't be.
Okay.
It cannot be. We cannot survive doing it one person at a time. There's
no other way that I know of.
It has to be done collectively.
Well, no, because collectively is a whole bunch of people individually deciding. If 15 people right now in any block in Youngstown, Ohio, where you're located, all got together and said, hey, we see things going on, let's all work together as a team. While they're working on their own individual empowerment, they can still communicate as a group. I think that's what you're saying, but we all have.
No, what I'm saying is, we are going to have to. We are not monolithic in anything that we do.
No.
But when I look at Jeff and I, and we're working hard to make systemic change, mm-hmm. and that makes two. Mm-hmm. And you have five just because they don't like Jeff and they don't like me come against Jeff and I.
Right.
Then I'm no longer trying to. I'm no longer making a difference as I should.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes.
See, we become powerful, a powerful source in our own, and we begin to thrive and to move forward. And then people go out and collectively come to erode the ascension because they don't want to see you get ahead. And this is not crabs in a basket. This is just stupid. This is just, okay, again, you can't fix stupid.
No, you can't.
And this is not because of racism. This is society at large. Competition, African Americans look at business competition as racism. Uh-huh. Where the white man is looking at this as sharing the workload, and they don't want to share with minority businesses. Not because you're black, just because I don't want you to have any.
Yeah. Tracy, do you have interns that come in and follow you around for a day? You would make a heck of a big sister, or at least offer an intern program. The kids might want to know what the media is about. Jeff, you too. You guys, you
I'm her intern.
You allow them to see you. Pardon?
No.
Sorry, I didn't hear what he said. Yeah,
no, I was joking. I said I'm her intern.
Well, there you go. But the point is, you got a good role model. The point is that the only way it's going to end, Tracy, is for people to start seeing there's an alternative. And you can't wait for the masses to come to this. It is the individual. Every great global movement that ever advanced humanity ahead, even just an inch, was the inspiration of one person who took on the cause to where it meant more to them than their very life, and they just pushed it and pushed it and pushed it, and then we all moved ahead, and then we all went back to sleep for another 50 or 100 years till another great person came along. And it's always the power of the individual in our society. It's been well documented in history. One person, for good or bad, can change history. Look what Adolf Hitler did. I mean, you know, the millions of people that died, not just because of World War II, but because he gave so much power to the communists and everything else, and Lenin and everybody else, and divided the world, and the trillions spent on the Cold War and everything else, and all that's going on in the world today is a direct result of Adolf Hitler. You know? One person can affect change for the good or for the evil, but one person can. So I've just chosen to go out there, do my thing, and the people that cross my path, my job is to do the best I can for them as their servant. And if you go out in the world with the heart of a servant, you'll be so blessed you won't know what to do with it.
You're getting ready to start a television show, am I correct?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And to answer the racist question, the first person I asked to be on the board of directors was a black man. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the show is called Sight Unseen, and we'll be emailing and more and putting more of it up on. It's SITE. Right. It makes fun of the fact that I can't see the building site. And our first season, we're building a home for a disabled veteran and his family. And we're going to do it with veterans and other disabled people as volunteers helping us do this.
Hey, and listen, I got to take my break.
Go ahead.
I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown.
Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A 3-year-old boy is dead after being shot in the head in Youngstown. It happened Sunday night at an apartment on Fairgreen Avenue. Police believe the shooting was accidental. The boy's grandmother says he was playing with his 5-year-old brother. She says she then heard a loud pop. Investigators removed 3 guns from the apartment for evidence. At least 2 of them had bullets in the chamber. The grandmother says the little boy's father keeps his guns under his mattress, and the boy's death is being classified as a homicide. A Youngstown man was reportedly shot by his neighbor. It happened on the 1100 block of Wilson Avenue. Police haven't release the name of the victim or the suspect. And Austin Town officials are trying to keep the township safe for area students. Officials are working on a project where lights would be displayed along Raccoon Road. The lights come in handy for students walking from the middle school to the public library. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Are you looking to save money on your heating and cooling bills this year? Quality Windows can meet all your window needs while improving your curb appeal and increasing your home's value. Family owned and operated since 1998, Quality Windows lifetime warranted easy maintenance windows can save you up to 35% on your energy bill. They'll bring the showroom to you.
Hi, this is Kevin Goldberg, owner of Quality Windows. Call us today for your free in-home estimate at 1-800-863-9344. And you won't have to worry. There's no high-pressure 3-hour sales pitch with us. We don't require down payments, and we also have many different financing options available. And our prices start at just $179. And if you call in and mention this ad, receive an additional 20% off our Timeless series. And all the Quality Windows come with a true lifetime warranty.
Get your free estimate and more info at QualityWindowsLLC.com. 800-863-9344. Quality Windows, you've seen the rest. Now come see the best.
The excitement of the new Chevrolet is back. 600WSOM.com wants to put you in the virtual driver's seat of today's most advanced vehicles and to give you a chance to win the Auto Lot Jackpot. Just go to our website and enter the virtual auto showcase. There's a door to click for each of the Chevy All-Star dealerships. Check out each dealership right online. Sales hours, service hours, even a map to their front door. And once you're in, you could be just one click away from winning the Auto Lot Jackpot. Your choice of $100,000 worth of vehicles. Let's see. How about 5 $20,000 cars? Or maybe 3 $33,000 SUVs? Or how about a pair of $50,000 luxury sedans? Wow. Mix and match up to $100,000.
Thank you so much.
We told you the excitement of the new Chevrolet is back at 600WSOM.com.
This is News Talk 600.
Chances are your air conditioner isn't going to quit working between 8 and 5 on a weekday. Ainsley Heating and Cooling thinks you shouldn't pay more when your air conditioner breaks after 5 p.m. Day or night, even weekends, the Ainsley Group doesn't charge unnecessary fees. Maybe that's why they're welcome in more homes in northeastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania than any other contractor. Call Ainsley Heating and Cooling, 330-637-1911 or ainsleyhtg.com.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. Where do you find the best-selling brand in Northeast Ohio? At your local Ford dealer. The totally redesigned Fusion. Now just sign and drive away in a new Fusion with no cash due at signing. Visit drive1ohio.com.
Remember Twist and Shout, Hula Hoops, and Poodle Skirts? To celebrate our 50th anniversary, Copeland Oaks is taking you back to the 50s with an old-fashioned summer picnic. Bring the kids and your neighbors for a special summer treat on Friday, July 19th from 4 to 8 p.m. on the campus of Copeland Oaks in nearby Sebring. Rock with Rex Coombs at the Sock Hop. Reminisce at the Classic Car Corral. Kids will be challenged at the Adrenaline Rush Obstacle Course and Bounce House. And the whole family will enjoy the hot dog roast and ice cream social. So, be there. Fun for everyone at the 50th Anniversary Community Picnic, Friday, July 19th from 4 to 8 p.m. at Copeland Oaks on South 15th Street in nearby Sebring. This event is free for everyone.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. 440, call back in. You know I had to take a break. It was the bottom of the hour. I go to break at the bottom of the hour. Lethal is in the chat room.
I can't get in the chat room, so I don't know.
You ain't missing nothing. He in there just stupid. I told you.
He always stupid.
I gotta do a clip and just say, you know, you can't fix stupid. Just listen in and try to ease the mind. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229, yeah?
Notice the stupid people will not call in.
Oh, no. They don't
Same
do
with
that.
My Facebook page. I tell them, call in afternoon
just,
with Tracy and Friends.
I heard something.
What'd you heard?
I heard you unfriended Diva.
Yeah, I unfriended Diva. She wouldn't stop.
What do you mean she wouldn't stop?
You know how she's incessant with speaking and she's there.
Jeff, it's Facebook. Jeff, it's Facebook.
I can't take it. She had to go.
Jeff, it's Facebook. How do you... Lloyd made it in. How do you...
Yeah, away from here, you can get in, but while we're here, for some reason...
Yeah.
The firewall.
Yeah.
But how do you, I don't understand.
As much as Diva can get on my nerves.
How do you have to let people go?
What does that have to do with anything?
It's not like you cut her off.
Yes, because I didn't want to hear it anymore.
Hear what?
Silly answers to important questions.
So the rest of your liberal friends have more sense than Diva? Is that what you're saying?
They don't continue. Once you give them the facts, that's what the difference is.
Well,
once you show them a fact,
they'll say something else
on another thing, but not Diva. She's going to tell you that your facts are wrong, no matter what. And I couldn't take it. It's better for me to stop her than to get ready and call her a name. That's what I thought it was better.
Whoa, don't go there.
Hi, Mike, sorry about that. I had to jump on Jeff out loud.
No, I understand.
He unfriended somebody, because
know,
they
was,
disagree
heard,
on Facebook.
I heard Diva. I heard Diva.
Not?
Jeff, you broke her heart. I mean, the woman was, I had to give her a half a box of Kleenex yesterday just to get through the little, while she's trying to explain.
Oh, I don't think so.
Absolutely.
Diva's harder than that.
No, she was upset. You unfriended her.
She said
and
this.
she called in to tell South Carolina that she was sorry.
Yeah.
Because he was right about something.
Yeah. Matter of fact, she gave out a toll-free number we can donate now for her psychotherapy. You put her in therapy, Jeff.
Dang, Jeff.
She got an organization now called Can You See Me, and it's about people okay, you're aware of that, right?
No.
Yeah, Diva's Dollars for Doctor. I mean, .com.
No. This is very serious. She has an organization called Can You See Me, and it's about people that suffer from mental illness.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought I thought it was a liberal site bashing blind people.
It doubles as that at night, but.
Oh.
No, but seriously, she does have an organization, and I think that's a very worthy goal. I hope that she's very successful.
I do too.
Yeah.
People need it. There are a lot of people out there, and we need to be more cognizant of people with mental disorders than we are.
I don't care when somebody sees a D after their name or an R after their name. If they're doing something that's from the heart where they're trying to help people, God bless them. I'm all for it. I support them 100%.
Amen. Me three.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
That's the take in this country. Who's ever, I don't care if you're a foot and a half ahead of somebody, turn around, reach back, and try to pull them that foot and a half and get them to where you are.
I agree. A440, your mic is on.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with you guys a little bit. I think you're trying to lift the whole black community up at once, and that's not going to happen. It's not practical.
Yep.
Your only chance was with the president, and he just turned your back on you.
That's not true.
Wait a minute. What would make you say?
I believe in the individuality of the whole thing. All right. I do the best I can for me, and I will do everything I can, you know, to maintain my lifestyle. And it's not a black or white thing. I'm not helping anybody else. I'm for me. I hate to say it, you know, and I don't believe that.
Do you give to charities?
People are. I give to charity, and I give to my church and everything else, but I mean as far as the competitiveness, as far as work, not for me.
Well, that's work.
And that's what I said. I don't want an entourage. I don't need that. I'm not going to try to take care of everybody else. I'm going to try to take care of me. I believe in, if you have enough individuals that have that mindset, then, of course, you know, everybody will be lifted. But there's always going to be casualties. There's always going to be people that are going to go by the wayside. And that's life. It's not perfect. And that's just my spin on it.
there's no doubt. But, we are certainly not thinking that we're lifting the whole community at one time, because that's just not going to happen. But the thing is you have to when you're broadcasting, you're casting a wide net, and hopefully you drag in some people in that net so that they can and they can see.
But like I said, you know, we have to learn that we can do. Hi, sweetie, we can do more than one thing. And get to the same destination at the same time. And that's something that we haven't been taught. But then 440, since I have you on real quick, you said something, and you said you're very selfish, so it's really all about you. It's about you and your four and your family, and, you know, everybody else can get there.
Yes, I'm going to take care of them before I take care of anybody else. And I admit that.
So when it comes to affirmative action. In today's society, is it that they don't want the black man to get ahead, or is it that they don't care as long as they get there?
I've lived I've lived around and I've worked with all kinds of black people. I'm 64 years old. Okay? I've been around the block. I'm going to tell you straight. If I have a company, I'm going to get the best guy. I don't give a damn if they're purple. I don't care what color they are. I don't care if they're single or they got a family. I have to have the best guy. If I don't have the best guys, I'm likely to fail. I have to have the best guys.
But that's
I can't
not being
feel
selfish.
Sorry for people just because they have problems and they can't get there and the whole deal.
Oh, but
I don't care. That the race thing has nothing to do with my spin on business. And that's just the way it is.
But that's
period.
Not being selfish. When you try to surround yourself with accomplished people, that is being practical, and it is rewarding those people who are worthy of your tap on the shoulder saying, hey, join me, you've proven yourself. That's the third part that I didn't get to, Tracy. The third thing that I saw all successful people do after they first accepted they were in charge of their own life, and the second one was because they'd work harder toward their success because nobody was going to gain more by it than they would. The third thing they all did was they then shared their success with others. But here's the mistake a lot of us have made. They only share it, okay, and most of us don't learn this till later in life. I'm the same age as you, 404. They only share their success with people who are deserving to join them in their journey. Those are usually people that lived on the first two principles of empowerment and were getting themselves ready to be there for someone to tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, I like who you are. I like what you've become. I like the way you think. I like the way you work. Would you join me in my effort? So I don't think it's being selfish. I think you're doing the right thing. And also 404, may I be so presumptuous to just take a little issue with you. There's a lot of volunteer stuff you do that has nothing to do with your self-interest. It's a royal pain in the butt, and you'd give a lot back, too. So I don't buy this I'm selfish out for me 100%.
No, I'm selfish as far as the business aspect goes.
Well, that's just
you know, like
that's stewardship.
Like family, there's family.
Yeah.
There is no way.
Yeah.
There is no way I'm working with them or for them or whatever.
Yeah. That's stewardship.
It's not a white or black thing, and it's not a brown thing. It's
right.
I want the best with me.
Do I understand that as, because see, I'm going to throw Jeff into here in South Carolina.
Yeah, because
I got to throw you guys into here because a lot of times I blame my problems on racism when in actuality race had absolutely nothing to do with what's going on in society or why I didn't hire you, or why I have a problem
exactly.
with your work.
I look right past that. I haven't got time for that pettiness. I have not got time for that. I don't have any use for that. It takes up too much energy. It takes up too much time. Surround me with the best people.
But you understand how a lot of people right now, as African Americans, how when we lose a job, society tells me the reason why you didn't give me the job was because I was black. It had nothing to do with anything else around. Now, I'm not talking 20 years ago. I'm just talking about in more modern, right now.
Right.
Well, I can
because
say
right
that,
now,
say
everything that happens
I
in America, you know.
I lost my job because I was old.
You know,
what am
I look at Zimmerman, and Zimmerman, I don't know if he did it because he was black. I don't know if he did it because he was he might have just been a creep. He might have just been an idiot.
That's what it was.
And we are using race inside of the Zimmerman trial, and he might have just been, you know, just stupid. And he just wanted to go out and use his new fancy gun.
I don't know.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
My personal look on that, he was getting his ass kicked, and he drew
on. He was
afraid.
Yeah, he was afraid.
I'll be honest with you. I'm 64. If somebody was kicking my ass, I'm going to pull my gun on you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But wasn't because he was a black kid.
No.
But I don't think you're going to set out to follow somebody down the street, though.
You know what? I have a problem with that, too. Trayvon wasn't where he was supposed to be either. And, you know, and I don't know enough about the trial, and I don't think anybody, we got to let them just take care of it. I mean, we're trying to hang a guy without a trial. I mean, it, whatever. God will take care of that guy. God will handle it.
From the testimony that I have heard, and it's what they're hearing, okay, there was plenty of time for both of these people to get their egos out of the way, to put their male members back in their pants and disengage, and there would this whole thing, we wouldn't even be talking about it. Neither one would back down. They were both stupid. They both were contributory to the situation.
No, they weren't.
Yeah, when
no,
when Zimmerman gave a sarcastic answer to the kid who asked him, "What are you doing?" The kid could have not taken it as a personal affront. When Zimmerman turned to walk back to his car, the kid didn't have to follow him back, dogging him. They were both caught.
No! That's not what happened. It's not what happened.
According to the testimony, and
according to his testimony, he's a liar, and you can tell it. But here's the bottom line: he chased that young man. And then he was told
he
did chase
him
because they got him on the 911 tape out of breath after he chased him. And they said, "Are you following him?" Because
he
said, "Oh, I see him now. Oh, yeah, he's up to something. I see him now." And they said, "Oh, he's running." And that's when he told his girlfriend, "Listen,
you
got to listen
to somebody else.
Listen, you ain't going to give me the respect to listen."
One at a time.
I'm not done.
I know, but one at a time, I've got to get everybody under control. Go ahead, slow down. I only got 7 minutes.
Look, I'm going to finish it if they let me. You didn't take into consideration that phone call where he's telling his girlfriend, "I'm going to try to lose him. He's just keep following me wherever I go." And so, therefore, he was scared of this guy. He don't know who this guy is. He never identifies himself. And so, therefore, he might be John Wayne Gacy or Jeffrey Dahmer. And when they came face to face, he didn't say, "I'm block watch." That's all he had to say. The black man does not have a right to walk down the street in your book.
So what?
If that's the case, you got an out of shape. You got an out of shape Zimmerman that's following him. You got a 17-year-old kid that can probably run like a track star. You mean to tell me that instead of running away, He's gonna turn and just throw on him? No, I don't buy
to.
That.
He had to get back
I
to his father's
buy
house.
That. Hell, he could have ran away from that guy like nothing.
Ran away
but
where? Ran away where?
From Zimmerman. Ran
from
away
where?
From
he had already ran away from it.
No,
Zimmerman must
be
really
because he's a young black man, so doggone bad.
Oh no, that's not it.
That's exactly what it is. Because I know what punks
are. Now you're playing the race. Now you're playing the race card. No, you're trying to make it that way, but it's not.
You know what though? I'm gonna tell you just like this. You can't follow me. You follow me, I'm gonna cap you.
But let me ask
now,
you.
That's
I
street language.
I can
how you
walk
like
in the
that?
Same damn direction as you. And you're going to throw on me?
You follow me down a street in the neighborhood, and I will cap you. Understand?
No, you won't. It's not against the law to walk in the same direction. What's wrong with you?
On purpose.
But my question is, now let me, because I only got about 6 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, as a black man,
mm-hmm. who's been in this situation before.
No, I don't want to hear about the history. I just want you to answer my questions. As a black man,
mm-hmm.
that's your attitude. If you follow me and I feel threatened, if I have a way of fighting my way out, I'm going to do that. Is that
absolutely.
What you're saying? South Carolina, are you there? What? 440. Would you actually follow him if you had been in the same situation? And would you have thought he was up to no good just by him being a black man?
How
does he know that he was? If I'm walking in the same direction as somebody, let's say in your neighborhood, you mean to tell me just because I'm walking in the same direction, you got the right to turn around and throw on me?
No,
that's
not what happened either.
That's
the foolishness of what you just said.
I want to hear.
That's not what happened.
No, that's the foolishness of what you just said. I have the right to walk anywhere I want.
No, you know what? You know what? You fit the description. You just do.
But now let me ask you. No, because this is a cultural thing.
I know. You're going to. Yeah. Yep.
This is a cultural thing.
This is showing up a cultural thing.
Hold on.
The cultural thing gives you the right to pick up your own boss.
He didn't just walk down the street and get followed. Everywhere he turned, the man went after him. And he turned left, he turned left. He turned right, he turned right. He told his girlfriend, he's following me everywhere I go.
Mike, would you feel the same way?
I've been followed, and I had the good sense to lose him. And I'm blind, and I had to run through some buildings, but once I was out of where the glare of the streetlights was, I was in my element, and I could run through the back alleys. As a kid, even the police didn't chase me in the neighborhood because they knew they wouldn't catch me in the dark.
But my question is, if someone is following you,
where you have to decide, does your ego get involved and you want to win an argument, or do you just want to survive another day on the planet? And this comes from not believing you got more tomorrow than you got going on today. And this comes back to the beginning of this show, Tracy, what we started talking about. What do you think? If your ego is that fragile that somebody following you and your first instinct is
run,
and you're going to turn around and follow them back and demand an explanation. The explanation is you don't need no explanation. Get on with your life. Stop trying to prove things. Because like Tracy said, no fix for stupid. You weren't going to fix George Zimmerman
at
that point, Jeff.
Hold on, Mike. My question to you, I got a question for you, Jeff. Mm-hmm. My question to you is, do you want to be, as my mom would put it, do you want to be alive and right? Or
we end up dead anyway, Tracy. Come on.
Listen to what I'm saying.
You know this.
Jeff, listen to what I'm saying. Answer my question.
I answered your question.
No, you didn't. Mm-hmm. We are going to end up dead anyway. But are we learning, are we teaching and or working out this the wrong way? Because now we have a dead kid and a white guy who is, was it racism?
Okay. Yes.
Thanks, Sam.
Was it racism or
and stupidity?
No, was it racism or was it stupidity?
It was both of them.
So, if it was both of them,
mm-hmm.
so by your book,
yeah.
did Trayvon actually, did he do the right thing by what he did? Because
he did the only thing he had. The man had him cornered. He had to get out the corner. What's he going to do? He was in a backyard. He had no way out. That's what happened. And when he came out, he said, why are you following me? Why didn't the man say, I am Block Watch? Because he didn't respect that kid enough to tell him who he was.
I got to go, but I got a question. Where did you hear the testimony that this kid asked him, why are you following me?
It's on the tape.
Yeah.
And it's on the girlfriend's testimony. Why are you following me for?
And what did he say?
He said, what are you talking about? That's what Zimmerman said. He didn't say, I'm Block Watch, and you look a certain way here.
So
that's all he had to say.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we understand. Okay, that's all he had to say.
That's all he had to say.
Since he didn't say that,
mm-hmm.
Is this racism at its finest?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is. Because he had a right to defend himself.
I got to go. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Me and Six will be here tomorrow to finish this up. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. We'll see you on the other side. Or tomorrow. God bless.